You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Hey, everybody. The holidays are here, and YKWD with our Riotcast family are doing a gift drive for the first time. Gifts donated from you will go to two different groups of kids, NAC in New York and Alliance House in Massachusetts. And our good friends at Tweaked Audio really stepped up. They're offering a 33% off promo and will match every set of earbuds for everyone sold. So go to tweakedaudio.com and use promo code YKWDGIFT when checking out. And this offer only lasts till December 15th. For more info on the gift drive and donating gifts, go to riotcast.com. There's a page set up with details on NAC and Alliance House, along with a wish list and where to send the gifts. So please help us make this Christmas a little brighter for these kids. Thanks so much. And happy holidays from the YKWD podcast and the Riotcast family.
Welcome to the funniest podcast on the planet Earth.
I always try to keep it like a comic hang. I have a bunch of guys on. It's just us sitting down and yapping. And sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes it's intense.
It's Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
Podcast.
No topics, no directions. But I love doing it.
Finish it.
What the fuck is up, motherfuckers? Real ass dude, Puerto Rican rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez. For a real ass takeover of the YKWD podcast. That's right. Bobby Kelly's not here. He can't control me. He can't do anything. You know what? The line, it's way behind me today, motherfuckers.
And why can't he control you?
Because he's not here.
And you're a real ass dude.
And I'm a real ass dude.
Such a dick move to play the theme with his voice in it, though. Like, really get you pumped. And like, sorry, guys, your substitute teacher's here. Mrs. Crabtree is not here to teach the curriculum.
Which, by the
that's
way,
a word I just loined.
Already, we've lost 80% of the listeners. They're just saying, click, it's over. It's over. Look, welcome to YKWD. Bobby
Who's Kelly. Ready to celebrate Hanukkah instead of Christmas? Yeah.
Look, we got a huge show today. We had a full house, two cancellations on the show, and this is how full it is still. That's Scopo really went hard on today's show, which I appreciate.
I got you.
Bobby's off filming a TV show, being a fucking international superstar. By the way, guys, this is probably going to end up just being the show. As soon as April hits and this show comes out and Bobby is too big for all
he's
of
gonna
us.
Leave us. Yeah,
this
yeah.
is it, dude. Yeah. Soder's too big for the show now.
Soder's huge.
Joe List is about to be too big for the show.
So me and you.
It's me and you.
It's me and you.
It's a real ass podcast. Actually.
Hey, I'm still here too. My career's not going that great.
Huge show today.
I have multiple TV appearances.
In the co-host seat, we got a very good friend of the show, regular here on the YKWD podcast. Let's be Giannis himself, Giannis Pappas.
Let's
Giannis
be Giannis.
Pop it up.
Hey, what the button you just hit?
After you introduce everybody, also introduce Ebola, which is obviously here as well. Everybody's
by the way,
sick.
Everyone, no, there's only two of us sick. Yeah. Me and our second guest of the day. First time on the show. Yeah. I've known this girl like for months now.
Months.
Super fucking cool.
Yeah, you made it sound like you fucking knew her for 10 years.
Yeah. Nobody knows
it
her.
Feels like
the fact that I know her at all is pretty impressive, okay? We did Ha the Musical together. She's a great comic from L.A.
Thanks,
Casey Balsham.
Thanks.
Casey. Guys, clap it up for Casey. Come on, guys. Give her some love.
Yes. Great.
Assholes. And me and Casey are both sick right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's what's funny about Casey. Like during the musical, like me and Casey, we're very flirty. It's true. You can say it publicly. Your boyfriend doesn't care. He's not listening to the show. Okay, he probably is. We're very flirty with each other.
I'm not used to men and women flirting during a musical. You know, that's a first.
And
I was the only girl in the musical.
In the comedy world, it's so funny because we're so close during the musical.
Yeah.
But then as soon as the musical's over,
so
I see
weird.
Her comedy. I won't even make eye contact with her.
No, we barely even talk.
Yeah. I'm like, Casey, you know, don't even fucking talk to me in front of people, all right? So Casey Balsham's here. Very happy to have you on the show. Yeah. Her voice sounds like shit, but I like it. It's very sexy stuff.
Luis, you could be the first Puerto Rican to play a Puerto Rican in West Side Story. You realize that?
You'd have to be all
And you know who that is. Always spitting fire. We got to give
Lawrence his own fucking YKWD name, because Joe List has the truth. Dan Soder is Monster Voice. I'm the Real Ass Dude, Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Joan Jett of comedy.
Grenade launcher.
I love it, dude. The grenade launcher.
The grenade launcher.
The grenade.
Stop
launcher.
Giving him fucking names. He doesn't need any more names.
Mike Lawrence. No, it's Mike Lawrence.
Oh, the grenade. Oh, yeah. Oh, I think Ben Lewis is the grenade launcher.
Did you just tune into the pod, listen in a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. I tuned out for a while.
An Eighth at Midnight appearance next month, and I'm still too small to keep doing this. So there you go. Yeah. There you go. I'm not big enough. I don't even do it when Bobby's here. That's how humble I am.
This is what a fucking insecure nerd Mike Lawrence is. That was 4 minutes ago, and he's been sitting on that for the last 4 minutes.
I made jibes about you being in a musical.
You're too
I
big.
I did other things.
Fine, Lawrence. You're too big for the show, okay? Are you feeling better now? Mike Lawrence, a grenade launcher.
I just lost my job hosting a talk show in Miami, and I'm just back here to get my roots again. You know?
That's my.
It wasn't. It wasn't the city Will Smith sang about, and I'm really sad.
Oh, that was a good one.
I'm glad my hometown just chewed you up and spat you out.
Hey, yeah, I'm back.
From Miami.
Also on today's show, I'm really pumped about this. Obviously, we have Chris Scopo's here. No need for an introduction. Scopo, you look good, dude. But I'm telling you right now, I'm crushing you with
The competition was 8 months ago.
No, dude.
8 months ago. You said, let's
do it. It's an ongoing competition in life.
Every 4 months,
us.
He changes it. He's not ready. He goes, no, another 4 months. Another 4 months.
What
another
was
4 months.
Competition?
Yeah, what's the competition?
Was the competition
a better body?
Who looks more like a villain in an 80s PSA?
Who has a better body? Is it from the waist up or the whole thing?
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Shirt off, better body. But we're going to do
waist
it.
Waist down, I win.
Well, dude, my ass is ridiculous. I have Yoko Ono ass.
Not even.
Did you used to be fat, too?
No, he's just got a big lower body. Yeah.
He's got a great, big, fat, fucking chunky ass. Yeah. It's awesome. Also in studio, my personal assistant, not my personal assistant, my personal intern today, the lovely Shannon Lee Hayer. Shannon Lee Hayer, guys.
It's higher.
Whatever. Just fucking. The fact that I had that much, you should be pretty appreciative, Shannon, okay? The fact that I didn't say fucking tits over here on the couch next to me. All right, Shannon? I'm kidding. You're wonderful, and I'm glad you're here today because I asked you to come in specifically because Deepu is the intern for the show, mm-hmm. So he's going to be running a lot of shit during the
technical
show.
Technical coordinator.
Technical coordinator. Well, who's the intern then?
There's no intern.
Shannon's the intern then today.
Wait, Chris.
Shannon's a fill-in intern.
Chris,
yeah.
Did you get outsourced?
Pretty much.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Scopo doesn't even have a role in this. He's just a guy on the mic, believe it or not.
Deepu was willing to do it for less than free.
Deepu's
fucking grenades
right.
Wrong. Coming in right
He's coming
now.
In hot today. Bow. Damn, I loved it.
So, Shannon, you lost out to Deepu in the competition to become
well,
the
it wasn't really.
She,
I mean, if she could have got off work, she would have won.
Here's the thing. If you guys weren't here
That's
for
these, he's in the fucking room.
I haven't been here in a while. This is like a whole cast change for me. I don't know what's going on.
No,
I don't know who anybody is.
We had a whole intern competition, and Deepu and Shannon were very close to see who got the position. Mm-hmm. Deepu, he ended up getting it because he has a lot of technical skills.
Because he's got the greatest name in the world.
it's like watching Full House and seeing the baby twins. We didn't need that.
Deepu,
he has a lot of technical skills. He's very talented when it comes to like the technical proficiency of running a podcast, Ustream, all that shit. Shannon, she's just gorgeous, and we want her to be around. And I will tell you right now, there's zero chance that Deepu would be sitting here right now with his fucking hairy face if Shannon could be at the podcast anytime before 6 p.m. on any given day.
Yeah. Lewis was literally calling technical support, was like, by the way, do you want to do my podcast?
That's how we got Deepu.
How did Shannon?
Well, Shannon, she runs her own podcast, right, Shannon?
Uh-huh. Yes, I have my own podcast, but I'm also just a comedy fan in general. I listen to every podcast there is. Uh-huh. And so when I heard they were auditioning for interns, I came and tried
you
out.
Showed up and they all started salivating.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Let's find a place for her. There's no seats, but we'll work something out.
We're very close to just changing the show and just doing it every night on Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
I mean, I swear to God, if they would have done that, I would have been totally cool with it. I don't understand why I'm so close to Deepu right now for no reason. Look how fucking hairy his arms are. It's ridiculous, dude.
It's a very Robin Williams kind of hairy.
I wish he would have killed himself instead of Robin Williams. And we could have Shannon here every week. How cool would that be?
Hey, Deepu great. Doesn't steal jokes.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't know him. Shannon, I did. You brought us weed lollipops to eat after the show, which is pretty awesome.
I did. You're welcome.
I just realized I shouldn't have just announced that. Maybe that's a problem for you. Shannon's a drug dealer, guys. So if you're a cop listening.
To kids, apparently.
Louis is the only person that eats lollipops. You know, everyone else sucks them, but I'm a man.
Yeah, real us dudes eat lollipops. Shannon, I bite them like I bite into life.
I also brought you a banana to eat during the show. You got it. Yeah. Great point. Yeah. I figure you might be hungry. You need potassium. It's totally cool. So,
yeah.
Listen to me. We're going to have an amazing show
today.
That
should be a segment where we watch her eat a banana.
Yeah.
It's a banana flavored banana. It's not that special.
There's got to be some kind of like music going on.
By the way, I love how
we can do that. Deepu can do that.
Casey just chimed in with a funny joke, but she's sick. So and her microphone is to her. She has her microphone to her throat like she's trying to do like a fucking like a techno beat. Yeah. Like, can you please speak into the microphone?
I'm okay. Is this like this?
Yeah. That's better. You got to eat the microphone. Yeah.
I don't want to like make out with it because I feel bad because then somebody else is going to come and then they're going to.
I'm throwing that out after you're done.
I don't want to worry about
okay.
it.
Please
don't
come. All right, fine then.
Listen to me. This is a very rich podcast. We actually melt all the microphones down after every show and donate the metal.
Where's that bomb?
I'm glad that's on there still.
Look at the pictures of the podcast behind you. They're all sick. You're fine.
Just leave that on your mic and just adjust it like Rodney Dangerfield used to do with his tie. I tell you.
Where's fucking soda? All right, so look, dude, today, listen to me. It's kind of a crazy time in comedy. Obviously, we have to talk about fucking Bill Cosby and what a genius he is.
to be getting away with it for that long. I mean, come on, give credit where credit's due.
Wait, are we talking about Cosby mysteries?
Listen to me, this... if you haven't been watching the news, Bill Cosby.
If you haven't been reading Facebook, it's not on the news. It's on
Twitter and Facebook.
If you don't have 1,009 mutual friends with a comedian,
you don't know what's going on.
It's so funny because comics now, it's a weird time because usually we love to get behind comics no matter what. But with 14 allegations of women saying
15.
That, 15 now?
He rounded up.
Janice Dickinson.
Yeah. Janice.
Who's batshit crazy anyway. Yeah. But she said that he like raped her in like a cabin in Tahoe or something. Which
I got a friend.
Romantic.
I got a friend when we were little, his cousin was a model and she back then told us about it that
really?
He was like it tried to grope her and stuff.
Wait, Janice Dickinson?
No, my friend's cousin who was a model like 20 years ago. We were little kids. And
I was talking to an older comic.
Hold on, time out. Giannis is pretending that he was a little kid 20 years ago right now. Which is...
That was a good one.
It was one of his characters. It was Lil Giannis. L-I-L apostrophe. Lil Giannis.
You were 19 20 years ago, you fucking ancient asshole.
Are you that old?
No, I mean, how old do you think
I was? He's close to
it. I would say you're 33.
Perfect. I'll take it.
You were on your second time being a senior 20 years ago.
I did do 5 years in high school.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 36.
Perfect. I'll take it.
You did 5 years in high school?
I did 5 years.
You're a smart guy. That's interesting to me.
I was a real, you know, I was a misfit.
You were a fucking little wigger.
Yeah, I had, So I 1 year I had a 0.67 GPA, which is a D-.
Solid.
And I just they decided to redo the year.
What year was that?
That was my freshman year. Wasn't quite ready for high school yet.
That's kind of what happened in your comedy career, too. Like, you just redid the first 10 years.
Pretty much. It's taking a long time.
That's the path Lewis is taking.
We're telling jokes, not being real, Mike.
Sorry.
Motherfucker.
The money's in musicals. Off Broadway musicals.
Hold on, Deepu. Why is that not recording?
Hit that yellow circle button.
Right there?
Well, what? We're still
Has
going.
Has this podcast
we're
not been going, on the whole fine. Time?
Yeah, let's start over.
No, we're recording two things right now.
You what? What'd you say?
Jesus Christ.
I'm saying,
we're
dude.
We're going. We're fine. We're fine.
What do I hit record again? What do I do?
You start it over again?
You want to start the whole show over again?
There's no point.
There's
so
no
let's just
point,
keep going.
Scopo.
Let's just keep going.
Wait, is it recording?
Yeah, it's recording. He records on multiple sources.
Yeah, we're going Nicecast and we're going YouTube. So,
so
got
which
it.
One's that?
That's GarageBand. That's just a separate
thing. Do you want it to go from here anyway?
I'm not familiar with that thing. We can just keep going from here.
Yeah, go from there anyway, dude. It's fine. He has this. Dude,
are we still on air right now?
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. I hope you guys are enjoying this at home.
This is why. No, this is the difference between us and other shows. We're unprofessional.
Right.
So, Scopo, this is why I told you you got to fucking watch this thing, dude.
Oh, if you didn't hit the fucking button at 2 minutes in.
What button did I hit?
You had to get your fucking rattle to shake it, and then you hit a button.
I didn't hit a button.
Yes, you did, because it went off.
You're an idiot.
Go back and fucking check it. Now, Bobby's calling me.
How would I hit a button?
Bobby's calling me. Hold on. You want to answer it?
Are you fucking.
Yeah, he's listening and he's.
Let's see. He's going to kill me. Jesus.
Uh-oh. Speakerphone.
Bobby.
Speakerphone.
Yeah, speaker.
What's up, dude?
What are you doing?
Fucking Scopo, dude. I don't know, man. This kid.
Fuck. He can't hear me to defend me.
You
hit a fucking button.
Scopo, you say hit a button again, I swear
you
to God.
You hit the fucking
I'm
button
gonna
on the side.
I'm going to beat you up in front of people.
No, you're not.
I'm going to beat you
no
up
way.
Physically.
I'm not afraid of you.
Can we watch Shannon eat the banana first?
All right, Bobby, can I ask a question real quick? Because I know there's no eating in the studio, but I did buy Shannon a banana to eat. And I feel like there's no way she's going to make a mess with it.
Of course,
it's
gonna be one bite anyway.
So she's gonna swallow it like a NyQuil.
She's gonna swallow like Bobby.
NyQuil? Yeah, she can swallow a banana.
Yeah.
As long as she says my name when she.
the recording on the whatever fucked up, but we have Nicecast and we have YouTube. We're good.
Let me talk to Scopo.
Scopo here.
Oh, boy.
God damn it. How did we get in trouble 4 minutes into the fucking show?
What's up, Bobby?
Why did you give him the phone?
Because he was hosting the show, so I figured it'd be good for the host to have it.
And you're on speakerphone. We can all hear you still.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Shit. Did he not hit the button, or was it?
No, what he did was he had to get his little fucking rattle to shake it, and when he got the fucking rattle, he hit the button on the side, and it hit that button now caused the garage man to stop.
Real ass dude doing real ass things.
Take the rattle. Real ass rattle.
Fucking throw it down the steps. I swear to God.
That rattle's doing all the heavy lifting.
Listen, it sucks that the guy whose show it is. I brought a screeching halt to a really good podcast. I apologize.
No, you did. This is great. I love you calling in. Please chime in at any time.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving, Louis?
I'm going to St. Louis.
Oh, no.
He hung up. That was just kind of sad.
You have a family now, right? For the holidays?
Well, my chick's got a family for the holidays.
Oh, that's good enough. That's by proxy.
It's, and they cook really good food, so I can't wait. I'm going to go for Thanksgiving.
Is it warm?
There's going to be fans of the show like, no, you shouldn't have turned it off. Bobby called in 15 minutes in during a technical difficulty, and it was mediocre.
Yeah, no, Bobby saved the technical difficulty segment. I'm going to be honest with you. So, all right, fuck, we're good, right? We're good on
all
this.
Yeah, we're going.
All right, so look, dude.
I just want to see a sitcom where a Puerto Rican and an Indian figure out how computers work every week.
You mean just the Indian?
I like it. It was good. That was good.
Bill Cosby, in the fucking past 2 weeks.
Bill Cosby caused that technical difficulty, so we wouldn't talk about
it. Dude, he has gone from being a living legend in comedy, the oldest living legend, or the fucking, I mean, there's nobody else, dude.
Well, now he is just a rapist.
Yeah.
Just
a rapist.
He's just a legend to different people now.
It kind of makes me sad a little bit that, like, he had a great legacy and he will probably die now just being a rapist. But also, don't fucking rape.
Oh, fuck him.
I know, but it might be
Bill Cosby.
Fuck him, yeah. There's parts of me that are like, that feel sad.
Fuck him without his consent.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with that.
I think it's the patterns of the sweaters that hypnotize you and slowly lull you into a sense of comfort.
Yeah, but it's a
that and the roof and all.
It's a combo of the two,
It's kind of crazy, though, that, like, usually comics, when there's anything that goes against a comic, we all kind of band together and we go, like, fuck this, dude. You know, no matter what, we always give comics the benefit of the doubt.
With what they say, not with their criminal
behavior.
It's kind of
hard to defend a fucking rapist.
I mean, he's a rapist, dude.
Well, here's the thing, too. He's the one guy we know we're not going to open for. Like, he's, like, bar none, isn't going to call any of us and be like, do a state college tomorrow. You know, we're going to be like fucking fine.
Yeah, because if that was the point, we'd be like, I don't know if he did it. I'm not sure.
Is everyone just sucking up to Hannibal? Is that what's happening right now? I really want to do the Knitting Factory.
I was there. Do you know, I opened for him in Philadelphia.
You were there at the rapings?
The night that he told the joke that set this off.
Really?
Isn't it funny that someone filming a set ruined a comedian's career?
Crazy. I think it's actually poetic justice that an edgy joke is what took down Bill Cosby. The thing he had the biggest problem with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not... Was it a joke or was he just riffing?
No, it was a joke.
No, it's a joke he's been doing for multiple months.
He's been doing it for time, for a long time.
He's been working on it for as like part of something. Like Amy was telling me that she's seen him like working on that bit, and this was just...
By the way, when you say Amy, it sounds like you're saying Amy Schumer.
Yeah. Oh.
You gotta go comedy groupie.
Amy to the world of comedy,
comedy groupie.
Not...
It's
Amy Hawthorne.
Groupie.
Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I was hanging out with Colin. It's like... No.
Oh, Colin Kane?
Colin Kane. Oh, cool, yeah.
I was hanging out with Rock the other night.
The Rock.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jordan Rock. Guys, enough about raping comedians. Let's go back to the raping comedians.
Oh, man. So, look, dude, it's kind of crazy, though, that the face of comedy history has now changed. And that's, I think, when you say you get sad.
He is the biggest living legend in comedy.
Of course.
And yeah, there's no one bigger than him.
Fuck Cosby, yes, but it is a weird feeling. It's almost strange. And I'm not even like, I was never even a huge Cosby fan. And I'm not just saying that because he fucking came out as a rapist now, but it's true. I was never like, I never thought he was crazy funny. But in a weird way, it feels like your godfather was fucking outed for being a rapist. It feels like there's just, in the comedy community especially, we have these connections. Like immediately, if you find out this next dude does comedy, for some reason you have this little bond, even if you don't like a dude.
At least we don't even get many heroes that live to 77.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of the ones that you love fucking die young. Yeah. Or
when was the last
rape
allegation?
Rape doesn't take you out like drug abuse.
No, no, no.
It doesn't wear on you.
When was the last time he raped somebody?
It was in the 2000s still. I think it was like early 2000s.
I heard a thing from an older comic that was the funniest thing that he was saying to me yesterday. He's like, he raped so much that he had people on his staff that had to stop him from raping things. Like, that's, literally, they're like, no, Mr. Cosby. Yeah. No, she doesn't want it. You know, like, that's how out of control it was. Like, I think the sad thing is that we're in a culture now where we destroy heroes. Whether I think he deserves it, whether they deserve it or not, you just have a world with less heroes, and then it's a more cynical, shitty world. Like, I mean, I'm not disappointed at Cosby. I'm disappointed that that's the world we live in.
That we can find out anything and just take down anybody we want.
I mean, I think it's good sometimes. I mean, this is a righteous thing. And the crux of Hannibal's bit is also, fuck you for telling black people how to behave when you're a horrible person. It wasn't just him trying to bury this guy. There was a point to his bit.
What was that thing? There was another fucking, somebody wrote a blog and they called Hannibal, what's his name?
They were like, they literally just transcribed his album.
Yeah. that's when the jackals come in. You know, the jackals trying to make a name for themselves, just trying to find some...
Shit on Hannibal?
They tried to say he had some jokes that contributed to rape culture. You know what contributes to rape culture? Rape. Not jokes. Yeah. So fucking, and if Cosby doesn't prove that, I don't know who will. The cleanest fucking comedian. This is the second squeaky clean comedian who turned out to actually be a rapist.
But who was the first one?
Yeah. Vince Champ, serial rapist convicted, doing a life sentence. People don't even know about Vince Champ. Squeaky clean comedian, used to give other comedians shit for cursing, was touring the country and raping women based on his college schedule. So the rapes were happening in accordance with his college touring schedule.
There was another guy.
Adam Richmond.
Was that the guy a couple months ago?
Yeah.
He got arrested.
He's a little filthier, right?
Well, here's this guy. He's a road guy. I'm going to have Deepu look it up because I don't know that it's necessarily him.
That was him at the House of Comedy.
Yeah, he apparently drugged a waitress.
That's his name, right?
Yeah, that's his name.
But here's one of the funny part. If this is the same guy, he was exonerated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think
and it came out that he didn't actually do it. The chick was just lying.
Yeah, I think the details were like they went back to the house. It got kind of hot and heavy. They were both drunk.
Yeah.
You know, and like he was a little aggressive, and you know.
Well, that's the thing you don't hear, though.
But there was no fulfillment of the act. Got raped.
This guy lost, like, I think it was like 30 dates. I think his agency dropped him. Like, it doesn't matter. Once you are convicted in the court of public opinion, that is front page news, and then it becomes 10th page news when you find out that you aren't.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing with the Duke Lacrosse guy.
No, same thing with the magician. Who's the fucking famous magician?
Stephen Bargatze, Nate's father. Real rapist.
My dad did things.
I think also it has to be.
Have you ever been yelled at by a clown
by a rapist?
He's raping a woman? Nate, get out. I'm raping.
It's awkward.
His final trick was making a hymen disappear.
What'd you say?
Do you still need me to look up Adam Richmond? Or?
I guess don't. What's going on in the chat room right now?
No, just sit there and don't work.
Fucking Deepu. Use your brain.
We need you here for your comedy.
Any comedy in the chat
room?
More like right shallow now. Poo, am I right?
Oh, that's the David Copperfield. That's the guy.
It wasn't David Copperfield.
David Copperfield was accused of rape.
No, it's just because his name sounds like Copperfield. That's all. Yeah. David Copperfield.
Copperfield.
Copperfield. That would be a hilarious. Like,
and then he
only rapes women to the song Abracadabra by Steve Miller.
And while they're levitating,
I want to reach out and grab you. You know, it's the song. It's not me.
But it's it, dude. Now, look, can I ask you? Can you separate the legend that is Bill Cosby? Because somebody, I forget who posted this tweet, or it was a Facebook post, but it was a great thing, and it kind of made you think. He was like, dude, I watched Cosby on stage for 2.5 hours a year ago.
Oh, I saw that post.
And he was like, I've never seen any live performance like that ever again. I never will again.
You mean how good it was?
Evan Davis posted that.
Was it Evan Davis? Yeah, and then he was like, and he's a serial rapist. He was like, those are two exclusively separate thoughts.
I had friends who went to see him this year and said it was one of the worst things I've ever seen. Maybe that's because he's all distracted from
just lined up young girls on a stage.
I never got the Cosby
blood
thing,
everywhere. It was a real mess.
Yeah, I never really got it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's like first black man to be the lead in a TV drama. Like, you can't take that away from him. That's huge. That's fucking, was it I Spy, like 66, 67? Like, his contributions will be his contributions, but they will be forgotten because, that is a horrible thing. And
well, what about, what's his name? The, who's the one director? Roman Polanski, right?
Yeah.
He's like, he admitted to, what was he?
He can't be in the country.
He's convicted.
Yeah. But people will still work with that motherfucker. People will still work with that.
He has to make his movies overseas.
People will still nominate him for awards. Yeah.
Some will and some won't. There were people.
Some people sat and some people like gave standing ovation.
There were some that sat and, you know, that was their protest.
If Roman Polanski doesn't direct Bill Cosby's final special, I think it's a real missed opportunity.
I mean,
we've been wanting to work together for a long time.
I mean, Woody Allen is obviously a case, you know.
I don't think Woody Allen did it.
I don't buy Woody Allen. Yeah,
with his daughter,
I don't think he did it.
That sounds like bullshit.
And everyone always doesn't understand the actual reality that she is not his stepdaughter. She was never his stepdaughter.
Well, no, but then his real daughter.
Soon-Yi is not
his. No, I'm about Dylan Farrow.
Yeah, the real
daughter. No, Dylan Farrow, was his stepdaughter. But that story is suspect, dude.
Let me tell you something, Amanda. I've dated some crazy bitches in my life, okay, so that have made up some crazy shit about me. I think Mia Farrow fucking implanted thoughts in her daughter's head to fuck
probably,
this guy.
Yeah.
I think that bitch is an evil person. By the way, if you read into the case, there's so much evidence that points to that it's like, dude, I'm sorry, man. They threw it out specifically because of that.
And if you look at the actual story, there was a bunch of people in the house. This was after it had been known that he had started an affair with Soon-Yi. He goes with a bunch of people in the house. He goes up to the attic, takes her, fondles her a little bit, and then they come back to. I mean. That's a weird thing.
Yeah, with that look, you cannot be a molester. It'd be too perfect, okay?
Yeah, but here's where it becomes tough, because, you know, there are people defending Cosby now.
Who's defending Cosby?
There
I haven't seen a single person to get Cosby back.
David Simone.
Well,
she just said he didn't rape me.
Yeah,
I just dispelled the rumor.
No, but the thing is that what happens is, when there are people who have, you can even look in that Hannibal article, there's some people leave him alone and all that. There's some people who, you know, when the article first broke about Hannibal set, who were like, Cosby's better than Hannibal, and that's why it didn't happen. Like, which is fucking dumb logic.
That's retarded.
Yeah, but that's how people think sometimes. But the thing is, it's a lot harder to discredit the women themselves when they come forth. Can some of them be batshit crazy? Can some of them be lying? Yeah. But that's a lot shakier ground to tell them.
It's almost a problem, though, and it's like in any other type of crime in the world, you have to come forward and you have to say, hey, this is my problem, this is what happens, and you can be questioned for it. You know, I mean, I remember Dave Smith, we talked about this plenty of times, when he got mugged, the cops questioned, was like, what were you doing in that neighborhood? What were you, were you trying to buy drugs? And he felt like, well, what the fuck, dude? I got robbed right now. On a whole other level, if you're a woman who's been sexually assaulted, it's such a sensitive thing, and I get it, you know, but it's kind of it almost kind of like sucks in that case that like immediately Woody Allen is now a dude that fucking molested this little girl and people just automatically peg him that, even though when you look into it all the evidence points to the contrary. With Bill Cosby, there's no way this many people have come forward and said it happened and it didn't happen. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, when you, yeah. It's 15 is the minimum. We're at the minimum right now. Yeah. You know, there's a bunch of other ones
when
out there.
When it was 14, Netflix was like, we'll keep showing.
We'll keep showing 14.
15. Whoa.
Well, somebody TV Land was out.
They rounded up. But there like, needs that's
to,
like 20.
There needs to be something said, too, about this idea of these you know, corporations. Like, when they pull something, there's nothing moralistic about it. There's nothing heroic about it. They do it way fucking after it is a story. It's a money thing.
They're saving their asses, but, yeah.
Yeah, totally,
you know, and I get it. I mean, yeah, it's like the Affleck thing with, you know, Gilbert Gottfried. They wanted to expand into Asian markets. They're like, well, we pay this guy this much, and we get this much from them. We're choosing you
and
over
yeah,
them.
I get it. By the way, I get it. It's a business decision. I completely get it.
And that's the same thing that they did to cover up all this stuff, because he was making so many people so many money. I mean, he's not the... This has been going on for a long time, and it's been getting dealt with and cover up for a long time.
That's what Janice Dickinson, she wanted to put it in her book. And then her lawyers were like, no, his lawyers are so much bigger than ours. They'll crush you.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Casey, what were you
saying? I was just going to say, like, who, like you were saying, they pull it and all that stuff. Because, yeah, everybody's losing money when you stop running Cosby Show reruns and stuff like that. But they already put Seventh Heaven back on the air. That guy was accused or, like, admitted to, like... Yeah. Flashing
well, they took
kids
off Duck Dynasty.
So, like, who knows? That yeah, they barely.
And then they brought it back.
Yeah, you know? Fucking. You remember Dog the Bounty Hunter? Remember what Dog the Bounty Hunter said, dude?
I think they have to slap
drop the
N word,
right,
dude? He didn't just drop the N word.
He went
like,
hard.
He was like, I'm not just saying she's a nigger. I'm saying she's a nigger. I'm not saying she's like a scum sucking piece of shit, bottom of the barrel nigger. I'm just saying nigger.
Yeah, but whoever looked at that dude and didn't think that that's the way he talked.
Yeah.
I respected you more, dog. Yeah. Come on,
dog. Got a fucking
I
want to
know what Shannon thinks about this with her eating a banana. Yeah.
Shannon,
can you show us?
Poor Shannon is freezing over here, but she's not allowed to fucking put
clothes
on.
Show us visually how you think about this by eating a banana.
Go bad dog. Bad dog.
We would have the heat on if Shannon wasn't here. I just want to get those nips hard.
They're so stupid.
Wear what you want. That's a Cosby move. Put your fucking jacket on.
Right,
Shannon, what do you think about all this?
In what specifically? What part?
Well, are you a Cosby fan? Because you're a big comedy fan, right?
I'm a big comedy fan. I've never like sat down and laughed hysterically at one of his specials.
Right.
But I feel like sometimes the two can kind of be separated, kind of like the Chick-fil-A thing. If I love Chick-fil-A, I'm still going to go and eat at Chick-fil-A, regardless of like what their moral stance is. I feel like they're two completely different things.
Yeah.
You can't judge, like when entertainment is involved, you can't just, you're not going to be... looking through at someone's entire... I hate that everybody just...
Can you just start over?
Yeah.
Just start over.
No, I agree. There's a difference between the homophobic owners of Chick-fil-A and the homophobic cashiers at Chick-fil-A.
So what you're saying is like people should not stop enjoying the mediocre comedy of The Cosby Show because Cosby himself in his private life
here's the thing that
is a fucking criminal.
Are we hypocrites because you go, like, you look at this piece of art and you forget Cosby, but just say it's a piece of art in general. You look at it, you love it, you say it's the best, and then you find out that there's some moral shit that this guy did in his personal life, and now you go, oh, well, I don't appreciate that art. That art sucks. So there's some sort of
same
hypocrisy
thing with, like,
there.
Michael Jackson.
So can you not appreciate? Right.
Yes.
Dude, Michael Jackson fucked a bunch of kids.
You're right. You can separate.
Fucking so talented. We
it's two different
that,
things.
Yeah.
It's two different things. One's who Cosby's pretending to be, and he was good at that, and he was had comedic timing.
If anything, it's more impressive because
it's actually,
it was a character.
Like, wow, this guy's
all those years.
Fucking sociopath.
He had to fight so hard to be clean.
He's a sociopath, for sure,
Well, by the way, somebody mentioned that the other day, that people keep on bringing like up the fact that he's a clean comic and he had this dirty... Look, dude, he was running a business, you know, and the business of Bill Cosby is being a squeaky clean fucking comic, dude, and that's who he is, and that's
who
he was talking to.
When you start giving other people shit, he pulled Eddie Murphy aside.
That was one of Eddie Murphy's biggest bits.
Yeah, he pulled him aside and fucking gave everybody shit. When you're going out and making these, you know, going on these harangues from your soapbox about how the community is fucking needs to stop talking like this or doing this, and meanwhile you're sitting on some mansion, living in a white neighborhood with fucking millions of dollars and raping chicks.
Don't you
go
feel like
fuck yourself.
It's always the people that are doing that say that. It's like, you know, it's always
usually
people are like, oh, if you have to say, it's like in a relationship. Like, if
there is a certain glee that we get
you cheating,
from,
they're
you know,
probably cheating.
Finding out the Republican senator's gay, like, that is like a great fucking
best.
Feeling. Yeah. Because it is it. Fuck you.
But because it's usually when you're, it's like when you're so, when someone's
you're
so squeaky clean
preachy.
And they're bothering other people, you're like, why are you so
they've
concerned? Why are you so tidy? Why, what are you hiding? Like, why, you know, why are you trying to clean my closet? Whenever someone's trying to clean Somebody else's closet. It's usually subconscious because their closet is full of fucking
filth.
There
are comics who are putting it all out there, who are risking their careers and their lives. There was a Lenny Bruce who got fucking arrested. There were people who got their sets banned and shit like that. Yeah. Who, you know, because of what they believed in and convictions and feelings, and it's like...
That's the irony of it. Yeah. You know, that's the real irony of it, is Lenny Bruce was arrested and harassed by the FBI.
For what he said on stage.
For what he said on stage, and Bill Cosby was drugging chicks and raping their unconscious bodies.
He's talking about kids.
I talked to my chick about this, actually. She said, and it's so weird to me, because Beatrice is such a feminist, and I was like... She was like, it's so crazy. Like, you know, only one of these women really like stuck to it. Cause I was like, hey, paid everyone else off. I was like, could you be paid off in that case? She was like, yeah.
It wasn't only one woman that stuck to it though. There was like 13 that were willing to testify at the woman who in 2005 who settled with him.
Why didn't any of this come out? Well, let me make this point. I want to talk about
who
were
going to anonymously testify. No money involved, and statute of limitations criminally had run.
Beatrice said she said for $1 million she would just let it go away. She was like, look. You know,
yeah, because you're not going to bring him down anyway. Who's going to believe Stephen Huxtable,
one person,
whatever the fuck his name was?
Cliff.
Cliff Huxtable. Was fucking raping
shit. Hey, don't rape his name.
Big fan of the Cosby Show. I just want to take this time to say the Cosby Show, Malcolm Jamal Warner was one of the worst comedic actors I've ever seen.
What about Roach?
It was horrible. Every time, it was jarringly bad.
Well, let me say,
I want that to come out as well. And someone just, for all of us to finally admit that, be like, we don't even know how. He just sounded like he was reading every. Go watch how bad he was. I don't know why I'm attacking Malcolm Jamal.
You fucking
really weird.
One of the good guys on the show. He goes after.
He's like, I didn't rape anybody. Yeah. Jesus.
But
Christ.
Did he redeem himself with Malcolm Minetti? Did he redeem himself with Malcolm Minetti?
One of the YKWD fans.
He was a little better than Malcolm Minetti.
If one of the YKWD fans.
But then he did all the heavy lifting.
Don't take that little speech against Malcolm Jamal Warner about what a shitty actor he is, and put that audio over you doing Marisa, just actively fucking shaking your head like a fucking.
Now you just told him to do it though. Now they're gonna do it.
But what he couldn't do was Malcolm Jamal warn her about Bill Cosby.
Mike Lawrence. The sledgehammer.
I feel like in 2005, and this may be something crazy. I feel like also when that allegation
2005, Giannis was 36.
Okay, good facts. But I feel like something also happened with one of his kids. Like his kid got sick or died.
A 36-year-old Giannis Pappas went into a wig shop.
Yeah,
and comedy history was born.
Also that.
Let's be honest. Tuka, 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 tuka. Brusky, brusky. Yo, some politics and shit.
You can't do it without soda.
I know, we need soda. Yeah,
you really need soda for this one.
Yeah. No more Let's Be Honest.
So what were you saying about his son Ennis?
No, I was saying I think that the reason why you were saying in 2005, like why like nobody followed up, is I think there was something else going on with him at that point, like at that time.
His son got murdered.
That was in the 90s, though. Yeah. I think of the night his son got murdered, he's like, man, I need to rape four people to get over this.
Didn't he have a baby? Didn't he have a child with a woman? Like that came out too a few years ago.
Uh-huh. God, Bill Cosby really is a shit
dirtbag.
Well, here's the thing too. This is the great thing about modern media, you know, and comics. We shit on blogs and all that, and I'm pro blog. I think they're valid, and this is one of those cases where they are, because bloggers are the one group of people you can't buy off because they have nothing. You know, journalists, newspapers, if they report something, the people, you know, with money could be like, look, this is going to hurt
I don't think anybody is against. I'm not against bloggers.
Me neither,
I think people are against people trying to take comedians down for their words. And I think that is like a very specific thing. And if that's what you're doing with your blog, you can go fuck yourself. This is how I think bloggers are bullies.
But they're using their words.
You get these. Yeah, but why try to take food out of somebody's mouth? I don't understand that. By somebody telling a joke, you're not trying to hurt or attack anybody. You're trying to figure out how to make people happy in a room.
If you want this to be an art, then it deserves to be criticized. There are millions.
No, it deserves to be criticized. Nobody should have their job taken away from them because they're trying to figure out
how
to create
art. But if someone wrote a book review and said a book was too obscene, you think that that's different?
Yeah, I don't think there's categorical answers here. I think it depends on the context and the nuance.
Example.
Yeah,
you know, this was a comedy story recently, right? The woman who saw Dave Chappelle at Meltdown and was upset about jokes he did about transgendered people, right? Mm-hmm. And so many comics,
or as I call them, freaks of nature.
So many comics, like,
hey, that's not right. You need to take that back. Don't say that, Lewis. I'm going to take your rattlesnake from you.
Yeah, haven't they found out about your shit? But no. But the thing is, but like that woman who wrote that article, she was in the audience. She didn't heckle. She felt upset about something. She went home and she wrote about it.
She's
what
not
is
a bully though.
That?
She's not a bully because
no.
Dave
but
Chappelle,
a lot of comics who fucking posted her article and was like, look at this fucking bitch. But look at this tranny whore.
By the way, hold
like,
on.
We should Lawrence, never be that guy.
Lawrence, she honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. If she is going to be sensitive about words that are on a showcase where you have 7 or 8 or 9 different comics doing fucking brand new jokes that they're trying to work out, she shouldn't be there. If you're sensitive about any fucking
she
subject.
She enjoyed 7 out of the 8 comics
she
and was uncomfortable
there,
with one comic.
She, if you,
that's bullshit.
Go
Lewis.
And see those seven guys, those other 7 guys headline for an hour. Because when you go into a showcase show in New York City, LA, you are making a contract saying, hey, dude, I'm going to see a lot of different types of people. I think they should put a big fucking sign in every door. Hey, you're not going to like some of these people. Deal with it. You're
and
not going to like some
right
of the
right
content.
Not to like that
that's the
person
worst thing
and then
the reason,
blog about it.
Mike, the
totally,
reason,
I,
the reason
Mike,
I don't
yeah.
have a problem with her blogging about that is because Dave Chappelle is way bigger than any blog that she's going to ever be on. But for somebody to go and attack somebody like Sam Morrell, who at the time had, I think, 2,200 Twitter followers, you're being a fucking bully, dude.
Well, she has that right too, but then she also has the right to be proven wrong. And yeah. at this point, it should be seen that's proven wrong. Anyone should have the right to say whatever they want. You'll always have people trying to capitalize on something to make
well,
a name
we're
for
not
themselves.
We're talking about people.
And everyone has a forum. So
hold
we
on.
Have a forum to.
Guys,
she,
I'm not talking about from a legal
she interjects.
Standpoint.
We rejoined. She rejoins. We rejoined. And people use their fucking
Giannis,
logic and common
I'm
sense.
Not, I'm not talking
to
about from
right.
a legal standpoint.
And believe
standpoint.
What they're going to believe.
And
anyway.
Believe what they're going to believe. Or whatever. Or be changed or whatever it is.
I'm not talking about. Listen.
But when people say it's freedom of speech, but don't fucking blog about me.
Now, hold on. Dude, let me stop. I'm not talking about freedom of speech and I'm not talking about rights. It's not a legal issue. Nobody's being arrested for their words or their blogs. I'm talking about that person who's trying to get somebody fired from their job as a comedian for trying to work out a joke is a fucking dick and a cunt. And if that is your thing, and if you're going to be sensitive about
yes.
any subject,
a
don't
dick
go...
and a cunt. He respects transgender
yes.
people.
Yeah. If you're yes. going to, if you're going to have that attitude, don't go into a comedy club, not a showcase,
or go into a comedy club and blog about it. Whatever it is. I mean, if a blogger can ruin your career, then you know maybe your yeah. career is not that strong.
Look at Ari Shaffir. You know, he had people calling the stand over, and luckily the guys at the stand they dig that type of comedy. But dude, if it was another club in the Midwest, Ari has lost work specifically because
yeah.
people.
But Lou,
look at the amazing
I've
races.
Lost work because of it.
Yeah,
I've had people be upset by shit. I've had complaints. I've had stuff from.
But
TV
hold on, you don't think
out.
That you have the right to figure out your jokes?
You
somebody,
do, but we can't. Like we're talking about Ari, you're using that as an example.
But
we
people have the right to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and you can't define edgy jokes out of existence. They're edgy for a reason. They're going to ruffle some people's feathers, and sometimes that's what they're intended to do. If it's the unenlightened people, who are getting offended or whatever, and don't get the irony, then that was the intention. That's what makes it an edgy joke. We can't just hope that everyone's on board, because then it wouldn't be an edgy joke.
I think we're like
Ari knew. You tell me Ari didn't know when he did that shit that there was going to be some people who were upset when he's rolling around in
right,
a KKK outfit. 100%.
Let me tell you something.
That's what he did.
The people that are fucking trying to get somebody fired for their comedy, they're just wrong. That's all I'm arguing. I'm not saying that you're not right about all this stuff.
Well,
I'm
they're
not
saying not
that people
wrong
don't
all
have
the
a
time.
Right.
They're not wrong all the time. I mean, it depends.
I think almost,
I mean, Anthony Cumia, he wasn't in a comedy club. He was on Twitter. He made a public statement. His statement.
He wasn't trying to be funny.
Whatever
that's
it was.
Not what
but
I'm
he worked
about.
For Sirius.
Whatever.
This
he worked for Sirius.
About,
and Sirius, if you believe in all this freedom stuff.
That's not what I'm talking about.
As a private company, Sirius had the right to fire him.
I completely agree. Yeah. I said that on this show. I was like, are you crazy? You have a boss. You tweet some shit like that. He knew what the fuck he was doing.
Yeah.
It's not that crazy that he got fired. Look, the whole stand with Ann thing, I just think at the end of the day, I don't think that somebody should get fired for their fucking work. Words. I don't. At the end of the day, I get it though. But I would
that's
probably
crazy to say, dude. I would probably that's crazy to say someone shouldn't get fired for their words. That's because we're comedians and we're used to hanging out with comedians, and we get so desensitized because you can hang out with a comedian and say anything. If you work at a corporation or something, which actually I had to learn when I did my job last year, it's like you can't, you know, you can't just go to the water cooler and be like, fucking.
But look, I
these
get it, dude.
Spics
it's
over
the same
here.
Thing. It's
like,
the same
what?
Thing with Artie Lang, and I get what happened with Artie. I get why he got fired from At Midnight. I get why they didn't play or what was he supposed to do, something else, I guess. I get it. Dude, you go
so
and
do I.
You,
yeah.
you when you put it on Twitter, even if it's a joke, you go, hey, dude, now it becomes this public thing where you go, you have to make a decision. People are going to get pissed off and they're going to be upset, and there's a good chance you could fucking lose some work because of it. I completely get it. I'm just saying, for you to be in a comedy club using words, saying a joke, and somebody to sit there in the audience and go, like, I don't like that. What he said right there, that angle on this joke that he's trying to figure out offends me. I'm now going to go actively try to get him fired
but
for
this,
that.
This woman
that's
was
crazy.
Not actively
I agree
trying
with
to
you.
Get yeah. Chappelle fired
yeah,
from anything.
She was being very she selfish. Was by attacking a big comedian, obviously she's going to get some attention, and then oh, there she goes. Her blog has all these views now because she's like, "Let me go after this big." I think that thing is selfish.
But I'm just saying, I don't want to live in a world where she doesn't get to have a say.
No, everybody gets a say.
Like the thing is, like,
so what you're saying is,
if you dislike comedy because it's unfunny, that's okay, right?
Yeah,
but maybe you think it's unfunny because it offends you.
You have a right to be offended. I don't think we're talking about different things.
So
right
what
now,
you're basically
dude.
Saying
no,
is,
we're not.
And what you're basically saying is, the person who does that in the context of a comedy club, who tries to get someone fired with their blog, is a dick.
Or like gets them
can
not
be,
a
dick.
Be able to
just
work
a dick.
At that.
I think everyone can agree on that.
Yeah,
like,
I don't.
I have the right to say what I want on stage. People have the right to react to it the way they
absolutely.
Want.
Absolutely. That's what makes comedy comedy. It's a tightrope walk. I mean,
yeah.
Because there's the risk that it can go so bad, there's the joy and pleasure that it goes so right. So you need the pleasure. You need that risk. It's a tightrope walk.
And I think that sometimes, like, it gets on my nerves when comics think that the only reaction they have is like, well, you don't fucking get it. Like, sometimes people get it and they just don't like it.
Sometimes yeah. It's just not funny.
Oh, Hunter, yeah. I watch that happen with Big J all the time. Like, he's literally the filthiest comic I know. I'll watch him headline, and, like, you know, usually 80-85% of the way through his set, he'll lose a few people because, like, they're like, ah, dude, he's not going to get any cleaner. He's not going to talk about it. Like, they're just not there for that. They came for the Friday night show. Whoever the headliner was there, they're
sometimes
they're
there's
for
comp
that.
Tickets even. There's
yeah.
Groupon.
It's yeah. Not that they didn't get it. They got it.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
Just aren't into it, and yeah. I and dude, they have every right. But for that person to walk out and go, "Hey, you know what? This guy should be fired. He said some filthy things. He had mentioned his daughter in
that's
a sexual
ridiculous.
Way.
Yes,
that is fucking
that's ridiculous.
This is how
yes.
We pay our bills. And you, as a comic,
that's
Mike,
ridiculous.
You should. It should be black and white. You should say, "Hey, I should have the freedom to go joke about whatever I want to joke about and figure out whatever joke in the context of a comedy club. When they take your special and put it on TV, obviously, dude, you have bosses, yeah. The parameters, their standards and practices." But in the context of a comedy club where you're trying to figure out that shit, this is the only way. And it's a sad thing because we now live in a society where everyone's got Twitter. There's a million bloggers out there. There's cell phone cameras out. People are recording audio. You don't even have the freedom to figure out these amazing, awesome, edgy jokes. You have to walk this
what
fucking...
What I'm saying is, if you go in a restaurant and you don't like the way the food tastes and you yelp about it, that's fine, right? Or if you complain about it, I don't like this, or it was overcooked or something like that, that's okay,
if you try
right?
To get the chef fired because you just didn't like the food, I think that's kind of fucked up. Don't go there again.
Yeah, there's if this. Lewis is right. They go too like the, recently. It's been a
no,
step. It's
that.
A step beyond the critique. It's like this comedian. They criminalize it. Like Daniel Tosh was criminalized
so,
like, because he created this. Hold on. He created this. What has been now
rape culture?
Yeah, this rape culture crime. This amorphous of a concept of he's a rape culture offender.
They created
know?
A chain
they
of
created
events.
This. They criminalized it.
Yeah.
So it's a step further. You're absolutely right. There needs to be like a blanket statement made to the public. When you go into a comedy club, the reason why you're going to enjoy some shit is because there's a risk that you may not enjoy it. And so don't try to take away the ones that you don't enjoy or the comedians that you
but
don't
we
enjoy.
We as comics too. Can't take the same act everywhere and expect it to kill everywhere.
We don't expect
way.
Shit.
Yeah.
We're doing comedy. It goes bad a lot of the
time.
I'm times.
Just saying, look, I've had complaints.
Most of the time for Scopo.
I've never seen a good comedian. I've never seen a comedian who was
just
really funny
up, yeah.
Not do well. any comedian who does well every time is like the safest, most boring.
And they
comedian.
Don't even kill; they just do well.
Yeah, they just do well. You're gonna bomb. You're gonna cross the line. That's yeah. And in the context of a comedy club, and that's what Lenny Bruce's life and his fucking legacy is about. And other people who've pushed that limit is you come in a comedy club. You're in fucking our. This is our place. This is where this type of thing happens, where anything can be said.
Including
you may be
jokes,
offended,
including rape jokes,
whatever it is.
Whatever it is,
that's what's gonna happen. It's like when I was in Cleveland, right, and I did hilarity. It's like the Greek priest came to the show, and I told this joke. It happened to, you know, have a Jesus and a dick was in it, and at some point Jesus is jerking you off. Okay, that's you know, I'm very paraphrasing the joke. And then the owner, came to me and was like, you know, the priest was there, he's having a heart attack, and I was cool, and I cleaned it up for the next one because he told me like, there's a lot of Greeks coming to see you. Can you just? And I did it because I was like, you know, I want to do well, I want to do, and it's not a big deal to adapt a little bit. But when I thought about it later, I was like, you know what? Fuck that priest. He's fucking in a comedy. Seriously, you're in a comedy club. You're going to come into a fucking comedy club. If I'm not going to go to your church and start fucking heckling you and telling you, obviously, that this is all bullshit.
And by the way, I did that when I was a kid. I played in a church band. I used to wear a Marilyn Manson t-shirt. And I was a dick for that, kind of. In all honesty, I was a dick. I was the guy in a comedy club heckling because I'm coming to your world being that dude, and it's obnoxious.
Right, it's obnoxious.
And it's obnoxious on the other end as well.
Absolutely.
Just isn't seen that way.
Yeah.
I think comedy clubs could do a better job of advertising, one, protecting the comics. I do think that's an issue.
For sure.
But they could do a better job of, you know, it's like if you go see a movie, on the poster, it says what the content's going to be. Nudity, violence, all these things.
You know why, though?
And
that's they're going to lose business.
Yeah.
They don't want to lose business.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, it was, you know, Temple of Doom, I think, was like the first PG-13 movie.
I just think bottom line is you need to know when you go to a comedy club, there's a chance you're not going to like what you're going to see. And that's the reason why you're going to like
now,
it.
Here's an
It's live
too.
Comedy. That's what it is.
Here's the big issue in New York City, though. Those barkers tell people that they're going to see whatever they want to see.
Yeah.
They lie to them. They flat out lie to these
people. Oh, 100%.
And then they come in.
And that's but the, and you're
they
talking
get
about
hit hard with it. You know, they're,
forget that's
is
like,
it family friendly? Yes, it is.
Yeah,
is
whatever
it
takes.
They just want business.
They
want
literally
business.
And I sold tickets for years on the streets. Okay, whatever it took. The guys that do it bad, whatever it fucking takes, they will tell you. Dave, dude, we were outside of where we did a Ron and Fez show.
I walked past the guy telling someone Chris Farley was going to be on the show.
We did a Ron and Fez show a couple days ago at the Hard Rock Cafe, and we're walking in, and the promoters come up, and they're like, literally to the entire team of comedians, Dave Attell, Ron and Fez, we're all standing there, and they're like, yeah, man, Louis C.K. is going to be at Broadway tonight. And they're like, no, he's not. And then he goes, all right, man, you want to buy weed? We're like, whoa.
But you know what?
This guy's a businessman.
The clubs that, you know, you see that in any sales business. The guys who go for the short money, the guys will say anything to get the sale. Those guys, it's always short money, and then they come right down.
Yeah.
Things at places like the Cellar, who are consistent, don't do those things. They're still around,
and then they don't need to hustle. Those clubs, they are doing the same thing day in day out. A place like the Cellar can have now 4 to 6 shows a night between this and the Underground, with basically no marketing budget.
Yeah,
it is based off of just being the best.
Reputation.
That is the way to do business.
Best way to do business.
And you know,
but it's hard to do business that way though. The Cellar has a reputation. That's the only club that has it. So that's why they have to go and get these people to fucking get people.
No,
to show.
Look, it's a longer business plan, but you don't. It doesn't need to be about making as much money as quickly as possible. You need to take a step back and go, what is the long term plan
but
here?
Scumbag owners don't want that. They want the money.
Yeah,
they don't give a fuck.
So you'll always have that. So
why pay comics when you can have people pay you to go on stage and bring 10 people? I mean,
yeah, and by the way, also that's like it's partially on us as well, dude. Look, there's fucking 1,500, 2,000 comics in New York City, not even counting really like the guys who are just starting out. And you go like, dude, we got to make a decision at one point to not work for free at a place or to not fucking come out. You got to say, hey, dude, it's not worth it anymore. You know, and it's really hard because I'm just kind of turning that corner in my career now where I can say no. I was at Stand Up New York with you, Scopo, and there was like there was an urban show. And they had a DJ.
Wait, you turned down spots?
I turned down a spot, dude. It was crazy.
No.
Let me tell you.
Are you telling me? So you're basically telling a story saying that you're at a point in your career where you can turn down spots?
I'm quitting comedy. No, let me tell you.
He has 9 podcasts, all right?
No, there was a dude doing a show, and I won't say his name, but he had a DJ, and he was fucking slammed.
That really does narrow it down.
Yeah, Jeffrey Hernandez. Yeah. So, he had a DJ in the show, dude, and he's fucking slaying for 15 minutes between each comic, just fucking laying it down. he's killing, dude. Yeah. And he's got like a whole bunch of like written shit, like DJ Hit That Shit stuff, and
really well placed air horns,
dude. He's nailing it, dude. And they are losing their minds, okay?
By they, you mean black people in the crowd.
Blacks and whites. It was a very...
No, it was very black and Puerto Rican. That's what it really was.
That was counting the Puerto Ricans as whites. I wanted to make it a diverse crowd.
They're very emotional laughers.
Dude, they love it. They're stomping the
He looks at all Puerto Ricans without the last name Gomez as whites. You're not real.
So I'm about to walk out with Scoba. I'd done the earlier show, and the kid comes up to me. He's like, hey, dude. He was like, hang out. I'm going to put you up. And then I was like, nah, dude, I got to get out of here. And then he was like, all right, see you later. And then Scope was like, dude, why don't you go up that? It's a hot crowd. I was like, a couple things. Number one,
I was scared, so that's it.
I
wasn't sure if I could follow it, so I didn't want to hurt my self-esteem that night.
I know. Here's the truth, dude. I did not. I'm not going to go up to a crowd that loves that. I'm not going to go up and try to do the jokes that I do. I would have had to have adapted to that. I would have had to have pandered to that. And for me, I'm at a place in my career where I don't need the stage time enough. I don't need that guest spot enough to go up and have to feel like I'm not as good as what that kid was just doing, which I know I'm better than. You know, like,
I disagree with that.
Yeah,
man.
Me too.
I think you go up there and try to make the jokes you have work the way you do, and it'll ultimately make the joke stronger. Isn't like you don't pander, and you just take it. If it doesn't go as well as that kid, you take it on the chin.
It was also the way he said it. He was like, "Hey, hang out, kid. Like, I'll get you up in a minute."
Yeah, thing.
Well,
that's
then,
the real thing.
Was partially that. The initial thing, I was like, "Well, fuck that. No, like, I don't need to do your show." But no, I don't think that's a wrong thing at all, dude. I don't do what that kid does, and I'm not going to go and fucking. Literally, I didn't need the stage time that night. I didn't need the set. So I can't work on jokes, dude. They are losing their fucking minds to a dude scratching records. They're losing it. They love it. I'm going to go up and do jokes, not do that well, kind of get in my head about it, and then go like walk out and go like, what lesson is really learned there? What is really taken from that? I would have done a bar show for free next door in a heartbeat for no money, for nothing. It was... You don't need to do something like that anymore. And I was saying it to Bobby. I did a fucking a brunch show a few weeks ago at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Westchester. And he's like, dude, I'm so happy I don't have to do that ever again. And I'm not above any of that shit. Yeah. But I'm not going to go set myself up to fail and question what I do in an environment that
but
isn't...
But you don't know that you would fail. I mean, there's...
I probably would have killed. No, let's get real.
I know he would have failed.
I can say he would have failed.
But I mean, how many times have you walked into a show and you're like, they're not going to like anything I do. And then you just go
a lot
do
of
it
the times.
And it's fun.
Well, it's also once you agree to a show, you're locked in. That's 45 minutes. That's, you know, worrying about getting paid. That's all these other things. I mean, I'm a guy, like... I protect myself less than just about anybody I know. I did 4 open mics last night.
He's addicted. It's a little weird.
I'm not really anymore.
I saw him in that little...
I thought you meant physically. I thought you wore the I hate N-word sign that Bruce Willis wore in Die Hard 3.
I think he was doing like a late night set. I was walking down the creek. We were walking down the stairs, me and Nate. Nate just looked, and they're in that little fucking room that they built with the glass windows.
The garage?
Yeah, Mike Lawrence is just there performing for like 13 fucking open mic
children. Lawrence,
a half
hour,
children.
Multiple Conan. Appearances.
He's their fucking god there. They love him.
No, they don't.
They love
him. They hate me now. They hate me.
Why
because
they hate
I bump
they
them.
Turned on you?
God, I bump them and they don't get it.
Lawrence, hold on a second. I want to take a break because we got to do these reads and I want to actually talk
and
about
I got to get out of here.
Lawrence, you got to leave?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I got a sold out weekend at Gotham. I got to get prepared for. I apologize, guys.
Are you kidding? You're
he's
leaving
gotta get the
show
I got to leave, yeah. No,
I'm glad you're not big enough to leave this show.
I got to get. I told Scopo I got to get out of here by 1:45.
Well, I mean, yeah, he showed up 20 minutes.
Showed up late. We started the show.
Well, that's where my career is. I'm not too big to not
you know
show
what it was?
Up. But
you know what it was? I told him that Lewis was hosting. If Bobby was hosting, he never would have showed up.
Yeah,
late.
Lewis, I was like,
yes, he's headlining the Greek in the Cave tonight.
No, I do have to get. I got to get out of here.
Wow.
I apologize.
Weak sauce, bro.
I can come back. I mean, you know, if you guys
you
are going for 4 hours,
where are you going?
I got to go get my haircut.
The wig shop.
You go and get a haircut? You can't wait a half an hour and go get a haircut?
No, I go to a guy who's very busy, and this is the only time he had open. So
that sounds so
all right. Yeah.
This, I'm post Miami now. You know what I mean? I can't just go to anybody. To get
I don't like
hair.
That's
that,
the
dude.
Most Miami thing I've ever heard.
I know.
His
I go
name
to a
is
guy.
Enrique.
Very busy. Go to a guy.
Like, he understands my follicles.
I got to get my spray tan put on.
It's very hard. Like
I got a guy.
Girls know it. Like dudes don't really get it. But
I got
you,
it. I got it.
You
got
get it, right? You know how it is.
I go to Frunk.
Yeah. There's only like Frunk. It's hard to get a good person.
Yeah.
When you find a dude who does it right or the chick that does it right.
Chris Scobo is beautiful.
Right. Right. Dupac. What's his name again? Dupu?
Chris Cobo has the kind of hair you see on the box for hair. You know, like
you
just
do got good hair.
Yeah. I got great hair.
Fucking the universe is balanced, bro. Isn't it funny? Because you're a handsome dude, great hair,
fat ass,
fucking the legs, and that. Yeah, you can barely fit in that seat over there.
I know.
Man. Yeah, you better.
I can't wear like designer jeans anymore.
Nah, yeah.
He's like a decent looking guy, but a beautiful lesbian.
Yeah. You know?
Shannon, shut up.
Jesus.
Wait, before I leave, can we hear what Shannon thinks with her, through her banana interpretation?
If you stay longer, maybe.
No. That's it. Now we have a dilemma on our hands. Dude. Do I get a haircut or do I watch her eat a banana?
But she can only talk about what Cosby's done to those women.
Those are the rules.
Against their will.
Then she's going to really turn me on.
I would have totally showed up on time if I knew Shannon was here. I love this new thing that she's just here.
Can I tell you another thing about
the show?
She
should just come and sit, even if there's not a chair for her.
I don't like that there's not women on the show as much anymore. I like there being women voices on the show. I mean, granted, Shannon doesn't talk and Casey doesn't have a voice right now, but...
Yeah, that's so thoughtful
of
you.
Once I have my jacket and a beer, when we come back from break, I'll be good.
Do you not have a beer? Can you get her a beer, Deepu? You fucking Indian.
After the break, it's okay. After the break.
All right.
Get her an ISIS cold beer.
Leave on that one.
All right, guys, we're gonna be right back. Back in 5 minutes. YKWd, Real Ass Takeover. Louis J. Gomez, Puerto Rican Rattlesnake. Be right back. Millionaires are being made all season long at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments, guys. Play whenever you want. Player gets hurt? Not a problem at all. It's like a brand new season every week. You're never stuck with those same bullshit players, guys. Pick your team in minutes, and you could be on your way to winning huge cash. Check this out. Scopa, do you know that one listener turned $10 into $5,000?
That's a lot of scratch.
It's insane, dude. Another turned $2 into $10,000.
That's a
fucking unbelievable, dude. How many hair products could you get with $10,000?
You know what? I have a lifetime supply with that much money.
Seriously, you probably get liposuction in your butt.
No, I would never do that.
And a new millionaire has been crowned nearly every week this season at DraftKings.com, guys. You could be next. So do me a favor, guys. Go to DraftKings.com right now. Use the promo code Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, to play free in the $10 million Fantasy Football World Championships. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter Kelly now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Hey, guys. I'm a professional. What? Oh, yeah. That, too. Is that all going to be edited? No? It's just this? Yeah. I kind of think it's funny. Leave it like that. Guys, also, if you're a fan of the YKWd show, you know what you can do. We've got amazing sponsors. Go to ryecast.com/Robert Kelly. Right above the latest episode, you'll notice a couple links. Click the link for Amazon.com. Every time you use our link for Amazon.com, YKWd gets a kickback. It's huge. It helps support the show. We're not asking for a donation. All you got to do is go to the website that you're already using. And right now, it's Christmas season. So I know everyone's doing the Christmas and Hanukkah shopping. Go to Amazon.com through our link. Bookmark that link and make every purchase so the dudes get a little bit of a kickback. Also, go to TweakedAudio.com. TweakedAudio.com has the best affordable in-ear headphones on the market. You don't need to spend $100 or $80 on Beats Audio or fucking Skullcandy bullshits. You guys can go to tweakedaudio.com, use the promo code DUDE, you get 33% off, free shipping, and a limited lifetime warranty. Casey, stop making fun of me. And a free limited lifetime warranty, guys. Tweakedaudio.com, 9 different styles, 9 different colors, the best in-ear headphones on the market. Thanks so much, dudes.
What's that buzzing? All right, good. That's...
Stop. What are we doing?
You're good. Keep going.
We're going. Are we done? We're in?
We're good to go.
We're good.
We're back? All right. We're fucking back. What's going on in the chat room? Anything?
Give me a second.
Are they chiming in? Anything? Are they saying anything?
We have a couple of backlog things if you want to go through them. When people were wondering why Giannis was late, and someone asked, was he busy putting his dress on? That's pretty good.
I actually put that in the chat room. I've been chatting the whole time.
It feels weird to make fun of him for that when he makes a lot of money off it.
Yeah, a ton of money. You see, his shows are all sold out.
Have you ever been to this show, Lawrence? We make fun of each other about everything.
Yeah. I know.
What else? Anything else?
John McCarthy says, Lewis, you're never going to be in a Woody Allen film. Stop defending him.
That's probably true.
He doesn't cast Latinos. He does not give the opportunities to Asian women on screen that he does in closets.
All right, Giannis is gone. We're back. part two. We got another about another half an hour left in the show. Good up top. A little intense, but I still think funny.
Right. It was real.
It was real. It was a real ass first half of the show. All right. So look, we still got Mike Lawrence here. We still got Casey Balsham, Chris Scopo, Shannon Lee Heyer.
Thank you.
Is it Hoyer?
No. She can literally. She can. I will call her whatever she wants me to call her.
It doesn't really matter.
And we don't mean to be disrespectful. You know that it's all in good fun, right?
Yeah, I'm still not eating the banana though.
But it's good for you.
I really did buy her the
bananas.
Bananas
are actually good for you.
I'm not even lying. I was gonna buy a banana, and then it said $2 for $1. I was like, oh, I'll give Shannon a banana. First of all, say give Shannon a banana 3 times fast. That's kind of hard.
Well, you're a good boss then.
It's like know, 7 look, guests. He's like, I'll get one person a present.
All right. So look, dude, Mike Lawrence, you. Well, I don't think we've ever talked about this on a podcast anyway.
Hold on real fast. Stop moving back and forth. You're going to hit buttons and you're going to fucking turn the show off
Scobo,
again. So please don't fucking do
this. This is his mic. Now you're off the show. Now you're fired. Say, look, you're gone now. How about that?
You know what? I got 2 mics right here. We're good.
You think I haven't seen Bobby do this to me a million times before? I got it, dude. I am in control here, okay? Don't ever disrespect me while I'm hosting the show. Mike Lawrence, one of my favorite comics. Fucking awesome, dude. You're a really good guy. And you're a nice guy. I'd say you're a nice guy.
A lot of people hate me. It's fine.
That's actually what I wanted to bring up.
People hate you.
Really?
Yeah.
Mike Lawrence is I don't want to generically just call you a nerd, but you're kind of like, you have a nerdy thing about you.
Yeah.
Not a bully by any means. Like when you think of a textbook bully, you think me, Scopo. That's like
a bully.
You look like the bully though. I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying that you look like the bully.
Oh yeah.
Do they hate me now, Chris, or from like stuff in the past?
I've heard some shit. You're kind of a dick, but I was like, you don't really know him. I think they just don't know you.
Mike, here's his thing, and I'm sure Deepu does open mic still, so I'm sure he could chime in on this.
Yeah.
Mike Lawrence, the rumor about Mike was back in the day, him and Dan St. Germain, I believe, used to sit in the back of open mics, and they used to just belligerently heckle and demean other comedians during the open mics, and they were ruthless apparently. Part of me is going like, all right, I get it. I come from like, dude, I'm cut from the same cloth as like Bobby. I watch guys like Bobby and Patrice and Voss and these guys just bust balls relentlessly.
Yeah.
I always took it that's the way, but there are people who talk about Mike like he's a fucking, like the bully in high school that used to fucking give him a wedgie and fucking chase him down the hallways.
What I would do, there was a podcast called Terrified where I talked all about this and like, you know, was open about it. I regret a lot of the things I said, you know.
Give me one thing that you said that you regret. And yeah. Do you remember who the person was?
Like you would say this, you would do that and you would say.
Now, I wouldn't heckle so much. I would go up and dissect a person's act. I would rip apart their act. While I was on stage, I would.
He would go on after somebody, which I think is kind of a comedy faux pas. You wouldn't really. I did that one time at the New York Comedy Club. There was a guy hosting.
Yeah.
And he ate it, and then I went up afterwards, and I forget what I said, but I addressed him eating it. I was kind of. It was a little dig.
Yeah.
And I felt awful afterwards. I was like, that's usually.
Dude,
like,
it was. You know, I mean, I was a bully. It was out of my own insecurities and fears of not making it. And you know, but you know what? I will say this. I think
those faggots deserved it.
No, I will say that the pendulum has swung way too far to the other side, because even though I was an asshole, I was watching your act, you know, and I was like paying attention. I don't think people watch each other's acts as much anymore. I think they just take turns in this safe space. But because of that, less people are making it. You know, and my class of guys, it was, you know, it was St. Germain, it was Danny Solomon, Mark Norman, you know, Sean O'Connor. You know, we were all assholes. We're all working comedians. And that's the part of it I will defend, but the methodology wasn't right. And I won't speak for those guys, but I would go up, I'd make fun of people.
But in the same sense, though, what about the guys who are fucking making, you know, $500,000 on Wall Street now, and they were that douchebag in high school that bullied them? But you know what? The methodology might have been wrong at the time, but it still worked, and they're still the winners in life, and they're still fucking a hot
chick, still,
and they got
you
a car.
Can still call them assholes, and you're right. I was an asshole, you know? I'd like to believe I'm not as much anymore. I mean, if some people still think I'm a dick, that's their right, you know?
Right.
I mean, there are moments like, I'm fucking, you know, I'm a little Asperger's-y. I've got some autism. You know, there's no way I don't. You know, and I do think, like, there's some things that people will say that I do that I can defend and some that I can't. Like, you know, maybe I was a little curt or maybe I was, you know, a little
I want to hear something you said that you kind of regret, because I know you have something already. I see
he
it
does,
in your face.
Yeah, he definitely does.
You have something.
He has one memory. He went home.
The example.
The kid probably killed himself.
Did you
himself.
Call Subha Agarwal a sand N-word?
No.
You fucking
but
asshole.
But I was mean to her.
No, you know what? She told me you were mean to her. Yeah. That's actually why I just said, I didn't even mean to say it, but she said, yeah, Mike was, he told me... She told me you said to her, don't tell people she's been doing comedy as long as she's been doing comedy.
Yeah, I did say that. And you know, it's funny because...
And it was like 6 months. She wasn't even doing it that long.
No, she'd been doing it for a few years in another city, but only been doing it in New York for 6 months. And I said, start there.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe that was dickish.
That's where Kelly got it from.
You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's like, yeah, mate, I've been doing comedy for a year.
Since I got on the podcast.
You're doing comedy in 87.
Edit the legend, you know. Sometimes Andre the Giant was 400 pounds. Sometimes he was 700, you know. And it made the story better.
Yeah, dude.
Last night, because this was interesting, last night I was at an open mic, and I don't hit him as hard as I used to. It literally last night, like, you saw me at Cabin and stuff. It was that feeling of, like, I literally took 2 days off this week to hang out with my wife, and then I realized next week's Thanksgiving and I'm not gonna get up. And I was
so,
like,
you start freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And I was, I like, I gotta get up a bunch, you know. So I did a mic, and there was this girl who was, like, barely talking into the microphone. She's on the podcast now. No. No, but see, and some people would say I was just a dick right now.
You could have just said there was a girl.
Yeah. There's two, funny. Lewis. Two girls. Dos girls.
Oh, uno, dos.
See? Now, I know this girl, like, she was, like, really young, but she was, like, barely speaking the microphone. And I just went up to her and I just said, you know, when you talk in the microphone, like, talking in the microphone because we could barely hear you. And she looked at me like I was the biggest asshole.
But that would be, like, I mean, the main part about stand up is the microphone and talking into it. So I feel like that's more helpful.
Old me would have fucking went up on stage and said it. I'm not going to do that anymore.
I don't know where the
microphone is. Right.
You know, because, I mean, the truth is, I'm the sad fuck who's at the open mic. Like, I'm, you know, I'm the weirdo.
Yeah, but you have an addiction, you know, and I get it too.
I don't really anymore.
I'm going out of town on Sunday, and I'm going to St. Louis, and every time I do that, I lose my mind. Anytime I'm on vacation or I go visit family, so this time I was smart, and I set it up like 6 weeks in advance. I just started hitting up people, so I got two shows while I'm out there. I'm hosting a fucking Italian restaurant show in O'Fallon, yeah, Illinois. I'm driving an hour and a half to host a show for free for two drinks and a plate of spaghetti the night before Thanksgiving.
That.
But it's like, dude, when you're out like that, dude, you just, I don't know what to do. I will literally lose my mind if I have to just sit staring at a fucking wall.
If I don't do comedy for 2 days, I start going a little stir crazy.
Really?
What have you been doing for the past 5 years?
I don't know. Yeah, it's terrible. But
you guys have that in you where, like, you don't, where, like, you start to feel a little bit.
Yeah, I need to go out and get him.
I can't. My girl, I went to a concert with her one night on a Friday night, and I had to leave halfway through, and it was like a cover band. They were dope, but it was a cover band, and, like, halfway through, I started getting jittery. I was like, why am I here on a Friday night watching somebody else practice their fucking art and their dream?
Dude, I stayed home and watched I Am Comic on a Saturday night, and it's like, I gotta fucking be up there. Yeah. You know? It's like, why am I can't just watch this and enjoy it without thinking, you know,
thinking, why am I not doing spots right
and
now?
And I don't think, I mean, I had an addiction. I don't think I do anymore. Like, there was a time where it was all I did. And I think when I chose to, you know, be engaged, get married, I gave up some of that. And I've actually been struggling with the fact that I'm happy now and I don't feel like I need comedy as much. And that's why, like, I hit it hard last night because I'm like, no, this is what I do. Yeah. But
you got to start hitting your chick, create drama in your life.
But that's
with this upper body strength.
That you say that, like, since I moved to New York and got in a relationship, New York is, and being in a relationship has made me want to be more of a regular person. Not like, I mean, there's nights where I'm like, I would totally just go out and eat dinner and come home and be fine with my night, even if I did that three nights in a row. What parts of it, I think, like, the happiness thing is not, like, when I was in LA, I wanted to do comedy every single fucking minute of every day.
Well, we romanticize that. I think it's a young comic and kind of starting to turn corners and hitting certain milestones. I think as a young comic, it's this, like, obsession. And then, well, I think, maybe you said this to me once, But somebody said it to me once, like the first time you go like, oh, I don't feel like going in tonight is when you start to be a real comic, where you go like, you're like, you know what? This is actually a job. This, it's not just a fun game anymore. Yeah. This is, I'm working at something.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, it used to kind of be like, hey, let me get drunk. Just go up and tell some jokes, get some laughs, get the gratification of being the fucking man for that 15 minutes. But now it's like, I'm working on something. And if I'm working on a clean set and one of the jokes doesn't hit, I'm fucking devastated. Even if the set was great and even if there are women that are hitting on me and I'm getting drunk or whatever, it's a much different game than it was 5 years ago or 8 years ago.
Well, I think you guys are just getting older. You have a kid now. You just got married.
Yeah.
You have other stuff going on. Like me, if I don't do comedy, I'll go nuts. Like I have to
get
up on stage.
But then hopefully that's a phase you get, because this shit will never make you happy. And there's a lot of people in their 40s that are fucking alone and miserable.
Giannis.
And
really that old?
I never wanted to be that, you know? And it's like, I mean, there was that glamour, but, you know, it really was like, okay, so I got on TV. That's all I wanted. All right, now what? You know, and it's like,
that's the thing with comedy. There's no ceiling.
No,
like, there's
and
nothing.
There never will be.
No, and every person, like, you talk to somebody who's way further in their career, and they're like, "Well, I wish I was doing movies." And you talk to somebody else doing open mics, they're like, "I just wish I was at a club stage." And you're just like, "Where the fuck? Where does any of this end?"
I think that's life in general.
Oh,
yeah,
of course
though.
It is. Yeah,
it's there. It's the human condition is being able to adapt to anything, no matter how great or how horrible. Yeah. And
but the comedian condition is for us to think it only happens to us.
Yeah, because you're your own boss. There's nobody telling you that you have to go work on these jokes. There's nobody sitting at your house being like, you should be writing instead of watching fucking Four Weddings on TLC, but I love that show. And it's just like,
well, it's a great piece of advice that Bobby gave me once, because, you know, I've struggled a lot, you know, with
we know
this show, this specific episode. No, I mean, it's a really hard thing, and you never feel like you're getting anywhere, and you always feel as the money's not good enough, the gratification is good enough, everything you get, all the accolades are too far. Not for Lawrence. Lawrence is, you're getting enough accolades. Probably what, once a month you get something new to keep you going.
I don't know what I'm doing, you know. Like,
once every 6 months I'll get something that'll give me another 6 months in comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Also, you look at people that are ahead of you. You never look at people that are behind you. You always look, oh, I'm not there.
No,
you
I'm not that person.
I do both though, man.
Thinking like, oh, I'd love to do what that person's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a friend that I've had for a long time. He's a really great guy, Matt Morano. He's a really nice dude, funny comic. And he used to buy my meals all the time when we'd go out. And I remember I was thinking about this on Tuesday, like, and he doesn't anymore, and he shouldn't have for a while, but like, I thought about, like, that to me felt like I was making it more than anything. Like, this is a sad thing that I used to, like, if I look at the past and I feel like how I'm ashamed of shit. Yeah, some of the stuff that I said, you know, to other comics, I feel bad about. I was a fucking mooch too.
Yeah.
You know, because like I was at like, I'm going to make it no matter what, but I didn't think about the people around me, and there were people that bought me meals and kept me alive. And
I always had too much pride for that. I was always the guy that like, I don't like, you can ask Scopo, because I'll ask Scopo to do me favors. Like, I'll be like, Scopo, I need a ride to the airport, but I feel like I have to give him something in that place. I feel like I feel very weird being indebted to people. So I feel like, hey dude, if you do this for me, I will do this for you. And it's my own thing. It actually I think it's a roadblock for friendships and real relationships that I have, that I can't just say, hey dude, I need help. Can you help me?
Yeah.
Because I haven't had that before. I haven't had that type of foundation before. So it's something that I have to do. Because you're like, dude, whatever, you're my friend. What are you talking about? I'll give you a ride. It's not a big deal. But it's Bobby was talking about Louis C.K. We're talking about just not really being happy and never really being satisfied. But he was like, Louis won an Emmy. He was like, now he has to win an Emmy again. And if he doesn't win an Emmy,
that's
he is
the bar.
Going
now he has
back
to win an Oscar.
That's the bar. Yeah.
It's fucking,
gotta win something.
It's bananas. It will never end. And
you don't think there's people now who are like, so am I in the Cosby spot now that he's gone? Like, am I the biggest fucking? You don't think there's like a part of Seinfeld?
Who is it though? Who's the biggest living legend now?
Seinfeld's got to be Seinfeld. I mean, I'm trying to think of TV shows that were that big, and Seinfeld was
Seinfeld's
the biggest.
Fisting children for the
I'm
past
thinking
20 years.
Just in terms of stand-up.
What's the deal with these tight assholes?
But in
you
terms
shut
of
down this show in 2 seconds.
I mean, living comedy legends. I mean, you got to put Mel Brooks up there. But in terms
stand up,
I put Seinfeld. Yeah,
man.
Especially Joan Rivers is gone. I mean, who, you know, just having that one name.
Who's
I
the
mean,
black? But you're, you know what? Like, forget it. You know, who's the black guy?
Hannibal.
Hannibal now took all of Cosby's powers like Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat.
I mean, he just gets all his powers now, yeah.
Your soul is mine. I'd say.
That's how powerful, unintimidating black comedy is.
I mean,
they can take down legends.
Eddie Murphy disqualified himself. I'd say it's Chris Rock. Chris Rock for sure.
Yeah, Rock's a
How huge. Crazy, but how current is Chris Rock that. Excuse me. That he's the fucking dude. That is nuts, dude.
Yeah. Chappelle's up there too.
Chappelle.
Yeah, I don't think
Chris
Chappelle's
Rock kind of influenced Chappelle
Rock.
Though. You know,
no, I agree.
Yeah, so
but he has that aura, that mystery. You don't know when he's gonna show up. You don't know what he's gonna do.
Chappelle's
people fucking
more,
love that.
Yeah, Chappelle's more elusive. Like I'll see him. I'm like, oh fuck, Chappelle's at the Cellar. I'll see Rock. Oh, Rock's at the Cellar.
But there's
he's
that
there all
part
the time.
Of you that knows that you'll see Rock again. There's that
yeah,
part of you
Rock
that's
is,
like, what if he just leaves again?
Rock is just bouncing around all the time. Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's other guys that are fucking out there. What's his name?
Dude, the biggest thing you can do in the industry is tell them you don't need them. That's the fucking. Do you know who Daniel Kitson is?
No.
He's fucking. He's a British guy, so you already you don't care. But like, he's this fucking iconic British comedian who no agent, no manager, no TV, nothing. You see him. That's the only way you get to see him. He fucking I saw him in New York. He is behind the cashier counting the money himself. Like hands on.
Do it yourself. I love it, dude. I came from
and the
when
industry
I was a kid,
loves it.
When I was a kid, I ran
because he doesn't need him.
Punk rock shows and metal shows. We would rent out fire halls, churches, whatever we had to do. And this is how I started out in the entertainment industry. And I would book these bands, big bands: Sworn Enemy, E-Town Concrete, Coheed and Cambria, like really, really big bands.
One
now,
out of three. Yeah,
never heard of one of these bands.
I mean, Coheed and Cambria was pretty big.
Sworn
yeah.
Enemy was on Main Stage Ozfest. I mean, a pretty big band. But it was like, I love that
they
whole
set up
thing.
The main stage at Ozfest.
And I will always
they're roadies.
I will always be that guy. Like, I think Doug Stanhope is a great example of somebody like that who says, no, I'm not gonna go to the comedy club. I'm gonna go to the bar down the street and say, hey dude, I'll charge $10. I'm keeping the door.
Yeah, Stanhope just
a lot of people that aspire for that
doesn't give a fuck. He's like, I'm gonna live out in Arizona and I'm gonna fucking do comedy on my own.
But the rules have changed a little bit, and I said that about Giannis Pappas before, because Giannis went down to Miami, he fucking took a job as a host on a show, still got the half hour on Comedy Central without ever having a 7-minute premium blend or Live at Gotham. There's no rules anymore. Ari Shaffir, another example, no half hour, no 7-minute premium blend, not any TV exposure on Comedy Central. He's got an hour special and he's hosting his own TV show coming out. So it's though I think we were convinced that there was this formula that you had to go into.
I think there was a slightly one. I think there was one before. I think now with all the different lanes, the fact that people are getting jobs from Twitter, the fact that people are getting jobs from Vine, the fact that you can write all these sketches, and the fact that people are looking into all these different medias, then just straight, like, I'm going to go to this club and I'm going to put those
And when people
and
like something, they blog about how good it is, and then it just increases awareness.
Yeah, there's just so
By
many
By the way, I like
ways
that.
To get
I know you give me shit about like the blogger thing, but it's not an anti-blogger thing. Look, our friend Comedy Groupie, or Amy, as we've been calling her, you know, the Amy, you know, she's a blogger and she's very supportive. She helps people.
Yeah.
You know, and,
she
and
just
the truth
doesn't
is,
write about what she doesn't like.
There's a the tearing down negative. Of people that are just trying to create art. You know what
no,
I'm saying?
I get that, and I don't want to look like I'm against that.
No.
You know? Yeah, it's like, you know, dude, you have some pretty dark jokes. The reason I love Mike Lawrence,
oh, I
and
know.
The reason I think he's a great comic,
dude. I fought with Standards and Practices every time
of
I
course,
went on the air,
and you wouldn't put your fucking foot down. So I go, Mike, for you to say like, oh, you know, they have the right to come and tear these guys down. I'm like, no, dude. A lot of the shit that you did in
I'm
the open
saying,
mics, if they were there, dude, they could tear so many things out of shit that you've said that could offend people.
I just think that sometimes we get on a soapbox. It's like, and it's a little too much sometimes. I'm like, look, I did At Midnight once, and the category.
Really? You did At Midnight?
Not once, 8 times, but no. I did At Midnight once, and it was one of the first ones that I did, and the category was Unfriend Me. Things that you would say that would make someone unfriend you, and this was in January, and mine was, I miss you, Paul Walker. And the crowd fucking turned on me. It went silent. They didn't air it. Was I censored? No. No.
No, you
Was
weren't
I stifled?
It.
No.
It's the
I did
product.
A joke. I had the right to say the joke. They had the right to fucking let it bomb.
Yeah.
And then the station had the right not to air it. But it's like people think that every time that happens, they're like, I mean, comics have such a victim complex, such a martyr complex, and everyone's out to get us and all this. And sometimes the bloggers aren't even like saying like, no, we want to take this from you. They're just like, I just don't like when you say it.
It's dude, it's like a it's a bully thing though. It's
I
like
agree. They, fuck the people who are trying to get people fired.
They don't look go after fucking Eminem. If you ever listen to some Eminem lyrics, like why don't they do that?
Because it's too
big. They did. Too big.
Lewis,
too big.
They did though.
No, they went at Jezebel.com is not going after Eminem or hip hop. Well, or hip hop in general.
People went after Eminem hard, and he had a rough few years.
Yeah, and then he did that song. He did that song with Elton John, and he was like, yeah, sorry, guys.
Sorry for making fun of fags.
I got the biggest homo of all time to fucking give me the A-OK.
It's okay song, if he hates us.
Anything in the chats?
No, I've been working the cameras right now. They're just talking amongst themselves.
This was something interesting to me when I was talking about how like the mics have gotten soft. Do you agree with that?
Well, I had a question about that. Do you think they didn't like you, or it's you just think they didn't know you? Because I think that was just – I think there's been like a regime change at the Creek especially.
At all the places. I think it's just a thing that changes. Yeah. I think
– I don't – because I saw you at that night, and I didn't think like, oh, there was an animosity-filled room. I thought it was just like a pretty textbook.
What night was this?
When Nate was there, then they had like a late-night night at the Creek.
Oh, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
No, I know. I'm just saying like – you know, to me the problem is like – like newer comics now are too savvy. Like I always say that, and you know, it's like I got in right before the podcast boom. I started in 2005, but now it's like
we've started right around the same
time. It's weird seeing people
so much better than you. Oh my god.
Being white, but it's weird. It's weird, like seeing people 2 months in, and they say words like "he bumped me" or like, you know, like they know too much.
But you know what's funny? Because I just started working the Cellar a few weeks ago, and I watched that happen. Comics get annoyed when big comics will show up.
Yeah,
like Chris Rock will show up, and there's kind of like a collective like rolling of the eyes, like "oh shit, we're gonna be here another 2 hours now." And I'm still such a young buck that I'm just like, "oh man, Chris Rock is here. How cool is that? I'm going to fucking shake hands with him and watch a set." So it's like, I mean, I guess it's in like, yeah, maybe you're right, dude. Maybe the younger generation of comics, it is a sense of entitlement. I mean, I deal with that with a lot of female comics, actually. There's like a real level of like...
I think it's universal. I think it's both genders.
I think dude comics typically respect the lineage more than female comics. Yeah. I've watched a lot of young female comics just kind of like come at dudes that are just a lot more established in them. And almost from a place like, well, I'm a chick, so I can fucking do it. Whereas I think dudes are very much like, dude, that guy's been doing it 2 years longer than me. I need to respect that.
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think that.
No, I think you're a fucking bitch.
You know what? Lick my cunt. Okay.
Sing it out.
Hot off right here.
I think that everything boils down to the fact that because of everything that's happening with technology and the internet and everything, everybody wants immediate
responses. We get it. You work for Google every time.
Listen, just Google. No, but I mean, with immediate responses, I think people don't even appreciate the fact that you can watch somebody go up for 10 minutes because it's so used to... Everybody wants everything immediately. Give it to me right now.
It used to be like,
I have an attention span that's fucking this long and I'm done. So even if you are going on next 10 more minutes,
I've watched, you know, podcasting has become... a huge medium for comedy, and it's almost like half comedy, half social media. It's an instant, real, genuine. You're getting a real conversation right now. And if we're not in the mood to be really, really funny, there's nothing contrived about it. We're just coming in and
we're
just talking.
Well, now you get exactly what you want. I mean, the thing is, for years, comedians were saving morning radio shows. Comedians would come in for 20 minutes, plug their spot, and people would be like, oh, that was the best part of the show. Why do I have to hear this weather and traffic and commercials? And now it's like, here's exactly the comedians, and they're unfiltered, and they're all this. Like, I think it's hard to go back sometimes. I had a really tough time doing morning radio the first few times because I came up, you know, like, in podcasts.
I think it made it easier doing radio. I do radio now. I'm never more comfortable than being with a pair of headphones on, a microphone in my face, and I can just... I don't even realize it anymore. I'm just in the moment now. And in the beginning, before I started podcasting, if you listen to the old... dude, it's ridiculous. It's me just mumbling and being nervous and not talking loud enough.
The same way working a muscle, like way you do... like
the censorship I deal with the most is, you know, my McDonald's stuff. Even talking about McDonald's, if I go on certain morning radio affiliates, like, you can't talk about it. You just can't, you know.
Didn't they say in one of your Conan, don't do McDonald's bit or something like that?
There was something like that. It was the last comic.
Last comic, okay.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that sound?
It's you're hitting the fucking cord on there when you hit it before.
Idiot, listen to me. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fucking spaceship that's outside of the window.
It's called Garbage Company.
I mean, what the fuck, dude? Are we just ignoring this? This is bananas. I've never heard
anything. That's what we try to do. You gotta.
And no, that's not the sound. That little buzzing sound. That's a cell phone that's on. That's getting signals coming through.
It's not.
You're an idiot. Why do you? This is what Scopo does every time. Okay?
No, it's. I'm telling you.
Let me fucking speak.
Oh, let's hear this.
This is what Scopo does every time. He points a finger immediately and goes, "You did this. This is why this is happening.
Because you did it.
This has nothing to do with this fucking wire, you twat."
When
bag.
You just hit the wire.
Just like before, there was. I didn't fucking hit a button on the thing. I'm arguing with Scopo about hitting a button that doesn't even exist. He was
you
like,
hit
oh,
a
no, no.
wire. It's the same fucking thing. I said button and a wire. It's the same thing.
It's not the same
thing. You know
thing.
What? You still fucked it up.
God, I hate you.
I hate you.
All right,
too.
We're going to wrap up here in a minute, guys.
I'll still drive you Sunday.
Some of the time, that noise has been more compelling than what we're saying.
Jesus
I think
Christ,
that's
dude.
It. We're being outperformed.
That is bananas, dude. That is the most distracting thing I've ever heard.
No,
in my
Shannon
entire
doesn't
life.
Have it in her mouth, and we're not all looking at her. It's not bananas.
Shannon, my love. No. Listen, you don't got to eat the banana.
Thank you.
We appreciate you coming.
You've been
to the
Sofia
today.
Vergara of this podcast. He just had you on to that's twirl terrible. You around and look.
Yeah. I think I might be added to the list of people who hate you now.
Really? Because I compared you to Sofia Vergara?
That was a compliment.
No, because she's like a.
Hot?
I don't.
Yeah.
Hot and talented?
But she's like retarded.
Is she retarded?
No. You never understand well, anything that she
She
does.
Didn't get a career until like 38, 39.
She's from
that's
Colombia.
Impressive.
She's a different country.
So that was a compliment?
I yeah. think so. That was a compliment.
I always think that accent is fake, though. I always think like she's
it's
like
too much.
Yeah, Colombians, it is too much.
Colombians have a life expectancy of 35, so the fact that she even made it this long is quite impressive.
Well, then, thank you, Mike.
Listen,
yeah,
Shannon, you're
you
fucking
like me again? You like her again? I'm the only one who hasn't objectified you.
Points.
Well, Casey hasn't either.
Oh, don't even give me. I can
it's
do
really just Lewis.
Deepu
really,
is deep in a game and mind sweeper.
I could do fucking podcasts with Mike Lawrence all fucking day long because I like even that just kind of bugged me. I've not objectified her, okay? By every definition
can
of the word, I have objectified
can
her.
Can I say what you said last
brought
night?
Brought her a banana to eat.
Wait, what did I say
so
last night?
So tomorrow on a show, we got Scopo, Giannis, Big Tit Shannon, and Casey.
I didn't call you small tits, Casey. I just called
they're
you Casey.
B-cups. They're very regular. Yeah. I have the 5-inch dick of breasts.
Average tits, Casey. Average tits, Casey, and big tits, Shannon. Shannon, I'm not objectifying you. You're very sweet, and you fucking baked weed cakes for us. And yes, she's an attractive girl. Okay. By the way, it's so funny because my chick saw our chat that I asked you to be on. She's like, oh, why are you asking her to be on? So I have to pretend that I don't think Shannon's hot to my girlfriend. So
there are many reasons I want Big Tit Shannon on the show. There are two reasons.
Did she see where I was asking you to hook me up with somebody else?
Yes, but Shannon's a psycho.
Was it Chris Gopa?
She's trying to fuck.
Don't say it. Was it Chris Gopa? Don't say who it is.
It's not Chris Gopa.
It's not Chris Gopa.
Their kid would have the perfect breasts and an amazing ass and really great hair.
Was it Dave Smith? It was Dave Smith. Wasn't?
No, it's not like a stand-up comedian.
Yeah,
it's a person. It's a real person.
You're a little crazy. You're a little. You've asked me a few times
because
to try to get you to hook up with this guy.
When I was in the moment, I'm like, this has to happen.
Were you rubbing one out when you're asking me? Please say yes.
No, I was still there. I was still in his presence.
And you met him. I saw the picture.
I didn't meet him.
I saw a picture.
That's not who it is. That's not who it is.
Oh, it's a different one.
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. I want to know who it is.
Yeah.
We'll talk later. Shannon, you're fucking awesome. Thanks for being here today. What's the name of your podcast again?
It's called The Thing Is.
She doesn't even talk. It's just a picture. No. That's what she calls a podcast. Nobody ever told her. It's like, it's a very good podcast, Shannon.
It's the only podcast that's all video. No sound.
It's just a fucking still photograph. It sits on a desk.
The thing is.
It's not even on the internet. It's just a photograph on a desk somewhere right now. Guys, go to the Thing Is podcast. You got to find this mysterious desk somewhere.
100,000 downloads every week.
Ridgewood. You listen. It's an awesome. I've listened to the show a few times. I got to come on and be on the show, but I'm not going to do it over the phone. You offered me over the phone.
Yeah, she offered me over the phone too.
And that's
like,
ridiculous. Because that's you know why she thinks we're date rapey. That's the problem.
She thinks you're date rapey. Well,
because I used to do it in my house. So if I'm just going to have like one random guy come into my house, it's a little rapey, I feel like.
On your end, you're inviting us into the dungeon.
No.
How is that rapey on our end?
Anyway, regardless, I have a place.
See,
in
that's
Brooklyn.
The thing. Bill Cosby just been recording podcasts yeah. for the last 30 years. That's what it was.
That's all.
I have a place in Brooklyn to record now, though. So
Jello pudding podcast. Give me the bandana.
Got rid of it.
It hasn't been used all day.
It really hasn't. We've actually just either not trying to be funny, or we've just been funny.
What I love is that Lewis would still fight for my freedom to say that joke again.
I really would. I You're goddamn that. Right. I would. Because you got to figure it out like somehow, it. Man.
I think he's got like
Shannon. The Thing Is podcast on Twitter. I am Shannon.
I am Shannon Lee.
Casey, yeah. What do you got? What do you got to plug? Anything in particular? Your butthole?
Yeah. I got to plug my butthole.
Come on. She has a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Come on. That's for her vagina. We need a butthole plug now.
You guys are retarded. Anyway, you guys.
Whoa, language.
Whoa.
This is rape culture. How the Musical coming to Laserdisc this Christmas.
How the Musical coming in cartoon flipbook. No, we're going to. I have nothing to plug. I'm on Facebook. Look at my pictures. I don't fucking know. I'm so not good at being a comedian on social media.
You're doing a pretty good Marge Simpson impression.
Thank you very much. Hey, no, you guys follow me on Instagram. I feel like I kill it on Instagram. Double digits, triple digits all the time. Like, just double tap hearts all day.
We get it. You're an LA comic.
I fucking love Casey.
I know.
But look, do you get an automatic 2,500 Twitter followers just from being from LA? Is that like you just start off with that? It's crazy. I watch guys move to LA and they go, okay, they just blew up. They're famous.
But you have
now to
tweet the successes of another person every 48
hours.
Yeah,
you have to be like, congratulations to my good friend. Yeah. And it's like, just tell him, call him, text him.
That's, yeah.
I hate people.
I love Casey. We were at LOL one time where we were talking shit about a comic and she just jumped right in.
What comic?
Talking.
What comic?
I'm not going to say who it is.
Say it, pussy.
I'm not in that realm.
Jeffrey Hernandez.
Basically, let's just say her father was famous and doesn't talk to her anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I was also hammered. 50% of the time I walk into LOL, I am hammered.
Yeah.
So
wait, are we worried about severing ties with that thing?
Seriously.
That really is a thing. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It was fun, though.
Yeah.
Mike Lawrence. I am Mike Lawrence on Twitter. Anything coming up?
Mike Lawrence.
Sorry, the Mike Lawrence. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. MikeLawrenceComedy.com. I'll be on At Midnight December 17th, and then I will be co-headlining Parlor Live in Seattle with Dan St. Germain.
I love that club.
December 26th and 27th.
Oh, man, when you guys are making fun of open micers, did you ever think you'd be co-headlining a show together?
Yes, that's why they were making fun of it.
We watched the X. We paid attention.
We know what they
We
like.
Found the flaws.
Scopo, anything coming up? What's going on, man?
No, just get me on Twitter. At Chris Scopo. That's all I got right now. After
you know what? You know what's meaner than someone shitting on your act? Someone saying it was good when you know they didn't see it. That's the fucking worst.
Yeah. Or when they saw 1 minute of it, you're like, that was even stupid.
Yeah.
It's hard though. I mean, what are you gonna do when, like, if somebody gets off and you know they do bad? It's such a weird thing.
I always feel like you can't compliment a comic unless you are willing to bring up a specific moment or bit.
Well, that's by the way. I always specifically remember a bit of any comic that I watch anyway, because I know if I'm going to say something, I might as well compliment the joke that I like. And I know how it makes me feel when somebody says, hey, dude, that one joke in particular, you're like, well, thank you.
But then you know they saw it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least that just saw that joke.
Scopes, Twitter.
I just did it already.
Chris Scopo, Deepu.
R2, Deepu. I'm going to be broadcasting from my house at some point, so stay tuned for that.
What do you mean broadcasting from your house?
I'll be live streaming on twitch.tv, playing some video games, hanging out, having some comic friends over.
You?
Yeah.
You're going to be the personality on the show.
Why wasn't I on that show instead?
Hasn't started yet. Oh. Love to have you on.
Did you get him on the show? Happen, would you get Mike Lawrence on the show? You wouldn't have him on?
Sure. He's Mike a perfect Lawrence, fit for it.
He'll fucking come. He'll fucking make fun of you.
I would love that.
He'll make fun of your parents.
There's an open mic 3 blocks down.
Not on Staten Island. But stay tuned for that. It should be exciting.
He's the only one whose shirt is matching his microphone.
I gotta do Bobby's dates real quick.
I got my dates too, motherfucker.
Yeah, I have to do Bobby's dates. Scopo. You're last.
No, I'll have.
Yeah, we said me... Italian restaurant the day before Thanksgiving in Illinois. We
how
did
about
your dance.
You let me host the show, and I'll we'll go out with Bob these days. How about that?
All right, you got it.
It's just a pissing contest now.
It
at
really
this
point. Is. You fucking mean.
I don't like. I don't like it, dude. I don't like.
We're
it.
So competitive with each other.
All right, guys. Listen to me. Go to GomezComedy.com. Follow me on Twitter at Luis J. Gomez. Check out my multitude of other podcasts: Legion of Skanks, The Real Ass Podcast, Hammer Fisting Podcast, as well. Jeez. Also, tune in every Thursday, 2 to 4, SiriusXM Sports Zone 92 for Tap Out Radio. All of my many. MMA fans out there. Oh, right there. Sorry. And come and check me out live. Me and Dave Smith co-headlining in Toronto. We will be at the Underground and at Comedy Bar on January 26th, 27th. Come check that out.
Great venues. Yeah.
Awesome venues. You can smoke weed at the Underground, which is pretty badass. Also, I will be in Seattle at Parlor Live. I'm headlining Sunday, March 28th, and then I will be in Yakima, Washington on March 26th and 27th.
Took away the power of my plug.
Yeah, see? It doesn't mean anything, guys. Also, and I'm not even co-headlining. I'm just headlining that one.
On a Sunday, so. Comedy math.
Me and Big J will also be this December 6th. We're going to be performing for Anthony Cumia's poker tournament at Mohegan Sun. December 6th, come out, check out me and Big J. Join the poker tournament at Mohegan Sun. You guys go to MohegansUn.com or go to AnthonyCumia.com for more information about that. And go check out Bobby Live. Where can you check out the Bobster?
Alrighty, December 12th, Bobby's going to be at I Play America in Freehold, New Jersey. December 19th, the Paramount in Huntington, New York. The 31st.
I'm there tonight.
Really?
Yeah, oh, with cool. Dave Attell.
December 31st, New Year's Eve. Go check out Bobby in Comedy Connection in Rhode Island. And then the 23rd and 24th of January, he's got Bananas in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey.
If there was one person I knew would be good at reading other people's avails,
it's Chris Gobo. Right here.
Actually, I'm on the 26th and 27th show with Bobby in Hasbrook Heights. And yeah, so check me out on that as well. Come on, Case. You want to go on the road?
I want to go on the road. Can somebody just help me?
Casey, we are all going to try to finger you.
Are you Latino, and how many podcasts do you host?
I will up my number. Somebody.
You can come on the road, but you have to drink this first.
All right. This
listen to me, guys.
Give me a roofie that looks like a sweater.
Last thing we say about Cosby? He never really helped female comics.
That can't be the thing.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Listen, thanks for listening to YKWD. You know what, dude? Peace.
You've been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs. Shitty jobs.
Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free.
And they are all free.